KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. My name is Mike Hagan. You're listening to Radio Orbit. I'll be back with y'all in just a few minutes. To you. Good morning to you. Good day. Whoever you may be, wherever you might be as you listen to this radio program, you are listening to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. My name is Mike Hagan. It's a pleasure to be with you all tonight. Big thank you to my friend Corey. walking out the door saying goodbye. New Wave Radio Theater every Monday, 1 hour before this program. Wonderful stuff on the radio that you can't hear elsewhere from Corey, and she did it again tonight, and we'll do it again next week. Once again, 10 p.m., 1 hour before this program, New Wave Radio Theater with Corey. Catch it every week. Before that, Kelvin and Jason, Do It Up. Jazz plus blues equals the light of the silvery moon. Tech radio, as always, interesting stuff, keeping us up on the fast-moving world of high technology. And Jeff Wheeler starts things off with Uncommon Light, 3 to 5 p.m. every Monday. Great music, great talk, good radio on KOPN, your imagination station. It's good to be here with you and a part of it all. All right, thanks to everybody who listened to the program and participated last week. Big thank you to Dr. Neil Goldsmith. Interesting guy doing very cool work out there in New York, and real fun conversation that I had with Dr. Goldsmith last week. I'll try to figure a way to get Neil back on the air here one of these days. We also heard some great independent music, wonderful stuff from Mark Kozelek and Sunkill Moon. Lots of people liking the music last week. That's a thrill for me. I can't tell you how often I do a show and I like the music and find out that lots of listeners didn't. But it's the way it goes. Of course, if you missed it, the talk with Dr. Goldsmith or the sounds of Sun, Kill, Moon, it's all on the web, www.mikehagan.com, in the program archives, right? Go check it out for yourselves. Share it with your pals. Tonight, okay, we head north of the border, and we have with us tonight Ricky Simpson. We'll have him tell us his story. It's a very interesting one. You can get a leg up if you hop on the web and go to my front page there at mikehagan.com. You can read a little bit and watch a little YouTube video about Ricky and some of the stuff that he's involved in. But we'll get to him in just a few minutes. Also, the music of ZAP and a visit from the band probably sometime this first hour. We opened the show with a song called Joanna. We'll have more from Zap in just a bit, actually. By the way, you can find information about all the music I feature on the program on the website. Once again, mikehagan.com, just going over to the music archives, okay? All right, good stuff on the way. And stay in touch with me, okay? Stay in tune. We'll have another one here from Zap. It'll give me about 5 minutes to get my act together for our guest, Ricky Simpson, and we'll come back with him in just a few, okay? Once again, this is ZAP, and we'll hear a track called The Pressure. It's Mike. You listen to Radio Orbit, KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. Back in just a few with Ricky Simpson. And I ain't asking you.
jobs just to pay rent. But by the first of the month, all my money's spent. Just every day is so hard, making me a little bit more ambulant than the fucking police. No, my place ain't legit, I can't afford that shit. So with no hesitation,
once again, that's ZAP. The song is called The Pressure. You're listening to it here on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. My name is Mike Hagan. This is Radio Orbit. My guest tonight is named Rick Simpson. And for a number of years now, Rick has been providing people with hemp oil at no cost, essentially, as far as I know. We'll talk with Rick about the details. But the results have been nothing short of amazing. He is a guy who found himself as a central figure in the Canadian discussion about hemp and cannabis. And we are very fortunate to have an opportunity to talk with Ricky tonight and have him share a story with us. So without further delay, we will say hello and welcome to Radio Orbit all the way from Nova Scotia. Rick Simpson, hi.
Thank you, Mike. Happy to be here.
Thank you. Welcome to the program, Rick. Well, first of all, a big thank you because it's late in the night. I know it's a couple hours ahead of us here in the middle of the country. You're about 1:15 in the morning now, so I appreciate you staying up late to spend some time with me and the listeners, Ray.
Well, this is just to spread the word. We hope to tell the people the truth about what's going on.
All right. Well, let's do our best to do that. Your story is an interesting one, so I think the best way to begin is just to let you sort of tell your story from as far back as you want to go to the beginning. Let people know what you're about and how you got on this path and what's been going on.
Well, I'll do it as briefly as I can.
Well, we got 3 hours, so okay. You know, as much time as you like.
That sounds good. Well, back in 1972, I watched my 25-year-old cousin die a horrible death from cancer.
Hmm.
And about 3 years afterwards, I was leaving work. I worked for a hospital here in Nova Scotia.
Uh-huh.
And I was leaving work this day, and on the radio come this announcement. I believe it was a study that was done in the Medical School of Virginia around 1974.
All right.
But at the time, I hadn't heard nothing of this. This guy comes on the radio, and he's saying that the THC, the active ingredient in marijuana, is killing cancer cells. So, but, you know, when he done it, he was kind of laughing, so I didn't know what to make of it.
Hmm.
I only heard the report once, so it kind of stuck in my brain because of watching my cousin's death. So time goes by and nothing happens, so, you know, it's almost 30 years later, And I've been, you know, at that point had been diagnosed with skin cancer.
You yourself had been?
Yes.
Okay.
And this report popped back into my mind about this oil, or about this THC. Well, I had suffered an injury in 1997 at work, and I wound up with what they called post-concussion syndrome. So I wound up, you know, going through the medical system, taking all their pills, and it did me nothing but harm. So I watched a TV show here in Canada called The Nature of Things in 1998 with David Suzuki. And on it was all this about people smoking marijuana to help their medical conditions. So I had never thought about marijuana as medicine before. So I went out and I got some marijuana and I tried just smoking it. And actually it did more for my medical condition than all the poisons and chemicals the doctors were giving me. So I told the doctors so, but they, you know, more or less poo-pooed the idea, you know, stay away from pot. It's bad for you.
And you were smoking it, though?
Yes, at that point, I was just smoking the hemp to get some relief.
Right, right.
Yeah, I wound up with what they call post-concussion syndrome, the head injury, and my head rings like 24 hours a day. And sometimes it gets up to a really like an unbearable stage. But so I couldn't sleep, and my blood pressure was all out of whack. And from the injury itself had affected my balance quite badly. And so I tried the hemp, I tried hemp for relief, and I found, you know, relief in it. But like I said, the medical system wouldn't go there. So I was on through the medical system for about 5 years. And at the end of it, I mean, they tried all these different chemicals. Nothing worked. And I was in my doctor's office about around 2000, I guess it was. And, you know, he was always against the marijuana. And this was strictly medicinal, but you couldn't get a prescription for it. He wouldn't provide anything like that. But in the end, they just told me, or one day we were talking there, he said something about, he gave me an excuse, well, marijuana's bad for the lungs. And I was sitting there in his office, so I just said, well, what if I took that, you know, the plant, and if I made the essential oil from the plant and ate it as a medication? And he admitted that would be a much more medicinal way to use it. But he still wouldn't give me a prescription. So, and about that time, he turned, or about 6 months afterwards, around 2001, 6 months to a year later, they turned around and told me that, well, there was nothing they could do for me. They tried all of their chemicals, and they couldn't find anything that was giving me any relief. If anything, everything they gave me seemed to make me worse. So they just told me, you know, you're on your own. So I went out and I went out back to the hemp oil, and I kept taking the hemp oil. It did provide me with some relief, and I started, you know, my mind and things started coming back because the chemicals had done me a lot of damage. The pharmaceuticals.
So you had figured out at this point a way to extract the essential cannabinoids or whatever it was that you were trying to get at. Is that correct?
Yes, Mike. See, my experience like around the hospitals, I'm a power engineer by trade. And my experience around the hospitals, I took care of their stills and their autoclaves. Well, we worked on everything in those days. So I had a basic understanding of how to make, the essential oils myself. So I just kept producing the oils and taking them. And
where were you getting?
My mind started to come back. I started to feel a lot better. But, I mean, I still had the ringing in the head, but at least I could live with it.
Do you mind me asking what the source of your cannabis was at the time? Were you growing it, or were you getting it from someone local like everybody else does, you know, under the table? Or
no, at that point, when I first started using it, I had to go buy it. But, I mean, that gets pretty expensive, so shortly afterwards, I started growing it. But just like I said, in 2001, the doctors more or less, well, you're on your own, and they wouldn't provide me with a prescription for the only medication that was actually doing me any good. So that made me an instant criminal right there. Because here in Canada, you have to have a license to possess marijuana and all of this nonsense. So that made me an instant criminal. So around the end of 2002, I had these things on my, an area by my, right up close to my eye, and I had an area on my cheek and an area on my chest that, you know, I'd had them for quite some time.
These were skin cancer lesions.
Yes, these were skin cancers. So I went into the doctor, and he looked it over, and he said, well, they look like skin cancers. So he said, we'll send you in to see the surgeon. So in January of 2003, they took me in. They took the cancer out by my eye, and they sent it away for a pathology report. I did get the report back. It was basal cell carcinoma, which is skin cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's about a week after they had done the surgery, close to my eye, they had rescheduled me to come back and have the other two areas, the one on my cheek and the one on my chest, to be done at a later date. So about a week after the surgery, I was sitting home here, and my face was all swelled up, you know, pus running out of it. It was quite a mess, you know, where they had done the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when this report, you know, that I'd heard in 1975 popped back into my mind about this THC killing cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there, and I was getting ready to take some oil to help me sleep, and then it struck me that report. So I said, well, what would happen if I took a little bit of this oil,
Rubbed it
on the cancer on my cheek and the area on my chest?
Mm-hmm.
So I went down to the bathroom, and I put the oil on, and I put a bandage on each one, and I just left it. I didn't actually think it would work, but I left it on for, I think it was 4 days. And at the end of 4 days, I went down and took the bandages off, and there was no cancer. The cancers were both gone.
Hmm.
Then within about 7 weeks after the surgery, the one that had been surgically removed by my eye, it came roaring right back,
mm-hmm.
which is not unusual for skin cancer. You know, the doctors always say they got it all, but they never seem to do that.
Right. I mean, if you miss one cell, I mean.
Yeah, it's a pretty hard thing, you know, to get them all.
Mm-hmm.
So this came right back, so I took a little bit of oil and I put it on a bandage, left it on there for 4 days. Same thing, peeled the bandage off 4 days later, no more cancer.
Hmm, interesting.
So I was, you know, I was pretty excited about
sure,
that.
Sure, it's amazing. But what did your doctor say as he was observing this? I'm sure that he recognized that those other ones had disappeared.
Well, when I went down to see the doctor about this, I went down and his receptionist was there, and I asked her for the pathology report. Well, it just so happens that his receptionist is his wife, is the doctor's wife.
Uh-huh.
So I asked him for the pathology report, and she gave it to me, and I read it, and then I asked her, I said, could I come back in the evening and talk to, his name is Dave, or David.
Right.
I said, could I come back in the evening and talk to David, you know, about something I've been working on? And she kind of looked at me funny, and she said, well, what's this about? And I said, well, that cancer that I'd had removed by my eye, and I said, those other two cancers, I said, well, that one by my eye, it, you know, after 7 weeks after the surgery, it came right back. So I told her, I said, I cured all three cancers using hemp oil.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the minute I said hemp oil, she went rigid. Mm-hmm. The receptionist, like, the doctor won't go there, the doctor will not prescribe this. Well, I already knew that because the doctor, I'd been seeing him for quite a few years, and he would not prescribe it.
Right, and you'd asked him many times, yeah.
But it was the way she behaved. It was just like, you could see she was scared to death.
Hmm.
And it was a very strange feeling. You know, you're in your doctor's office telling them you have a cure for cancer, or you've cured your own cancer, and they don't want to hear it.
Hmm.
So that left me feeling pretty uneasy. But I went out shortly after that. My mother, she had what they called weeping psoriasis on one foot. And so we tried the oil on that. And it healed that up. And then several people I knew had skin cancers and skin conditions and problems. So, they would try the oil. And we just started seeing miracle after miracle. Well, then, I'd been eating the oil then on a steady basis since about 2000. And it just seemed that I was getting better and better. It's, you know, it certainly has done nothing to hurt me in any way.
Mm-hmm.
But I started treating or just providing the oil to people so they could treat themselves. And by about 2004, I started providing it to people with glaucoma and cancers and things like that. You know, even internal cancers.
Uh-huh.
Because I just made the logical leap. I mean, I looked at it. I was eating the oil myself. And if this oil cures cancer, you know, on the exterior of your body, well, then it probably does the same on the inside. So I started providing it to several people, and the numbers just kept coming. People kept coming with all kinds of different diseases and problems, and this oil just seemed to take care of everything. I mean, even in the people with terminal lung cancers, people that had been written off by the system. And I've seen this oil basically take people right off their deathbeds.
Hmm.
But I thought in, you know, in 2003 when I started providing the oil, I thought that the system would, you know, would welcome a cure for cancer and all of these other problems.
You mean they don't?
Pardon
you,
me?
You mean it wasn't embraced?
Well, I started in 2003 contacting the Minister of Health in Canada here, and I contacted, Dr. Suzuki at the Nature of Things, and contacted all kinds of politicians, the Canadian Cancer Society. We have these information shows up here called W5, the Fifth Estate Marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
We contacted all of them about this. And I'd gone to the newspaper in 2004, and they'd done a full-page article about me. But nothing. No one, most of the time when I contacted these people, I didn't even get an answer. And by about 2004, I realized, you know, because we even went to the United Nations, and they just ignore you. So by about 2004, I realized that there was nobody really wanted, it's all a pretense. They don't want to cure cancer. So, in good conscience, I really couldn't do anything else other than to keep providing the oil because I had all of these people that needed the treatments.
Mm-hmm.
And if I didn't provide it, they would die.
Mm.
So I just kept, you know, producing the oil, and I kept thinking, well, one of these days the system's going to wake up. So in 2005, we had some meetings here. There was a small village nearby called Macan,
mm-hmm.
and they have a Royal Canadian Legion. So at the Royal Canadian Legion, we had some meetings, and we brought patients and things in that, you know, people had used the oil for their medical conditions, and we had these public meetings. So we videotaped all of these meetings, and we sent all of the videotapes out again to all of these, you know, TV shows and everything to try to get somebody interested in this thing. But unfortunately, again, nobody contacted us back. And then in May, May 6, 2005, I took a copy of this videotape into the RCMP here in Amherst.
Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And so I took the videotape in. It showed the patients and everything, you know, like from the meetings and all of this, you know, and it told them, you know, we're curing cancer.
And you're showing them before and after clinical type photos or this sort of thing or what?
What's no, in the video, the videotape, the original
nature?
Video was just mostly just people.
Testimonial type thing.
Yes, they were standing there talking about their experiences, you know, while they used the oil.
Uh-huh, I see.
So, I mean, I took this right into the RCMP and I asked them for, and I would like to be supplied with the marijuana or hemp that they confiscate so I could make more medicine for the people. And at that point, I mean, I was going out and growing it myself and giving I just produce the plant or grow the plants, dry them out, and then take them, get the solvent and everything and produce the oil. I always made sure the oil was good and clean because I ate it too, and I'm very fussy. You know, I don't want anything that shouldn't be in my body.
Mm.
So I try to stay away from the candy kind of chemicals.
Mm.
But, the results, what I've seen with this, it just spoke for itself, so there's no possible way I could stop. So I kept treating people, and I thought that maybe the RCMP would come around and do something. Well, then in August of 2005, well, they did do something. They came and raided me. The same detachment I took the tape to, they came and they raided me. I had 1,600 plants in my backyard, and, which would have treated thousands of patients, or would have supplied the oil for thousands of people, but they come right in here and took the whole crop. And then they charged me. I was charged with cultivation and trafficking. And there was another charge of something about less than 30 grams, which is a bunch of nonsense anyway. But, I mean, in my eyes and everybody that I was treating, it was, you know, like, I mean, to get the medicine cheaply, the only way I could, you know, provide it was to grow it myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then give it, you know, and make the medicine and give it to the people. Because the only other alternative is to go out and go to these underground growers and buy the hemp from them. And usually for high-grade hemp, you're looking at about $2,400 a pound or more.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I wanted to avoid that as much as possible. But the RCMP, they didn't seem to like it too much anyway. So like I said, in 2005, they raided me. And then back in 2006, I put another 1,100 out in the yard. again, thinking that, you know, sooner or later they'll wise up. But they come and raided me again. And so I went in, you know, I mean, I was in the court system over this case anyway. So it would have been in the fall of 2005 when I first went before the court system. And I even gave the Crown Prosecutor, you know, the first day I was in court with them. I gave them a copy of, you know, of the meetings, and here's the people that were treated. And I thought the court system would, you know, do the right. I thought they would just look at this and realize this doesn't belong in a court.
Hmm.
You know, take it and throw it back at the government. Make the government do something about this.
Right, right.
But instead, they just go ahead and say, well, you know, we're going ahead on charges, marijuana charges. And at that point, I pretty well realized the whole system was insane by that point anyway. You know, you're going to, what's more important here, curing cancer or somebody growing marijuana?
Right, right, right.
You know, big deal.
Right.
So it was very disappointing.
All right.
But through the court system, they decided, we talked it over, and they said I should have what they call a charter challenge, you know, for your charter of rights here in Canada. So I went out and I gathered 48 sworn affidavits from different people that had used the oil for all different, you know, cancers, you name it. You know, it works so magnificently, like on arthritis and so, well, see, all through history, actually, cannabis or marijuana was known as a cure-all.
Right, right.
It was known
right.
as a panacea.
Right, right.
And when you make the essential oil, believe me, that's what you got. It's a cure-all.
All right. Well, look, Rick, that's a good place for us to take a little break, okay?
Okay, Mike.
Let's do that. We'll come back and we'll talk more about, I certainly want to talk about the history and then more of the details about the oil itself and how you do it and how much is required and how to make it and how much you're supposed to take as if people are trying to do it themselves. We'll talk about all this stuff, and we've got a lot of questions from the listening audience as well, okay?
Okay, Mike, that sounds great.
Hang in there for a minute. I'm going to play a piece of music here from my friend ZAP, who are actually in the studio with me here, and we'll probably chat with them for a few minutes after this piece of music. So we'll probably have about 10 or 15 minutes, so you can just take it easy, and then we'll come back and we'll have the next 2 hours be pretty much just you and me, okay?
Okay, Mike.
But hang in there, and you're welcome to listen in and enjoy the music, okay?
Thank you.
All right, Rick, back in just a few minutes. All right, everybody, it's Mike. You're listening to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. I do have my friends from the band ZAP here in the studio with me. We're going to play a piece of music here first, and then we'll come back and chat with these guys and girls in just a minute. In the meantime, this one will get you set up for it. It's called Press Release for the Police. Back in just a few, it's Mike. You listen to Radio Orbit, KOPN.
It goes, press release for the police. Stop harassing me. I said, press release for the police. Man. Stop the brutality. I said, press release for the police. Stop harassing me. Let's go. Shackles off my feet. Keep your time.
about that, huh? Not much else to add, I don't think, after that. This is Mike. You listen to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. Welcome to the radio show, ladies and gentlemen. And I got some friends in the studio here with me. And I'm going to say hi to Brandon. First off, grab that mic, Brandon.
How you doing, Mike?
How you doing, my friend?
I am well, man. I am well.
Thanks for coming down and saying hi to us.
Yeah, man. It's good to finally get in here with you.
Yeah, who you got here with you tonight? The whole gang.
Man, we got the whole gang in here. This is a ZAP, like you said, zero antiperspirant. I guess I'm going to let everybody go ahead and introduce themselves. Dustin's over here to my left.
Yeah.
We already said my name.
Dustin Cryer, lead guitar. Shit, he's a shy guy. Jacqueline's over here. Say hi.
I'm Quee on the vocals.
Yeah, that's right.
What's up? I'm George.
George on the guitar. That's right. Julian's back in the corner over there.
Julian Phillips, promoter / manager / whatever you need me to do /
What's going on, Junior Guard?
What's up, Junior? How you doing?
AKA Slickback, AKA that dude. Yeah. On the drums.
Hello, Columbia. This is Joe Schnell. I play bass guitar.
On the bass. That's Joe. All right. Well, cool. Well, thank you once again for coming down. Great music you guys have put together here. It's a great CD. 9 tracks. It's called The Pressure. And I know you were really excited when it came out a couple months ago, and tell me what's been going on since then.
We've actually been trying to get a little busy. We played a couple of shows since then at Mojo's and back at the Fugue, and we actually played a show through the university, which was pretty interesting.
Uh-huh.
But now we're trying to get out of town a little bit and spread our wings a little bit. We're going to be out in Chicago this summer for
right
a couple of shows. And we'll be out in Hannibal for a show.
You guys will play well in Chicago. I hope whoever's involved with that promotes that well, because you got a great sound that they probably like. You know, that's where I'm from. That's my hometown up there.
We're pretty excited, man.
And there's some great R&B / rock and roll / you know what coming out of that place. You ever heard of that band Robert Bradley's Blackwater Surprise?
Yeah,
Chicago band that
he's
actually
a homeless guy, right?
Yeah, he's an amazing story, that guy, but a great band that has sort of a similar feel to you guys, actually. But
right,
anyway, so that's cool. So you got a little bit of touring going on this summer. Where was the record made? You made it here in Columbia?
Yes, actually we did at a friend of ours' house, pretty much, you know, Bootleg Studios. But hey, it worked.
Hey, I tell you what. Well,
C6 Studios. Hey, got to put that out there, man. A friend of ours, man. C6, yeah.
All right.
A good friend of ours, man. Mike's cool. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, he's been doing a lot of work with a lot of the guys around town.
Yeah, local cats around town.
Yeah, another great job he did with that one.
Well, no, I don't think he did anything with Cotton Mollies, but...
And Dustin did most of the production, is that right?
Yeah, we pretty much recorded the whole thing on a little digital 4-track in his basement, and then I kind of took it back and rearranged everything on my computer and did
all
the effects, and came out pretty much how we wanted.
Well, you guys did a great job. I think it's great, and I commend you for getting 6 people together and keeping it so tight. People don't realize, I think, in a general sense, you know, every time you add one musician to the gang, it increases the complexity by about tenfold. And when I see you guys play live, it's impressive too. I've always been impressed by how tight you guys are on stage. So it's great stuff, and I hope more people get a chance to hear it this summer. What about contact information, that sort of stuff? You got a website, you got the MySpace, that thing probably.
Yes, contact information is zeroantiperspirant@gmail.com if y'all want booking, CDs, tours, dates, anything. Just hit me up on the email on that one. If not, you can visit our MySpace page, myspace.com/ZAPMusic1.
ZAP Music 1, that's
yes,
right.
Sir.
Okay, that's linked up on my website as well. And after the show, when we get this up in the archives, I'll put you guys linked up on the music page so anybody who wants to find out who was playing on this program in the future can hook up with you.
Right,
what else did I want to ask you about? Instrumentation in the band. There's a lot of you. So who's playing what? I mean, we mentioned that Joe's on the bass, and I know George is on the guitar. You do a lot of singing, Brandon. You play a little bit too, a little tambourine and some other stuff. Clap your hands a lot.
Tambourines, but I try to get on the chords when on the piano.
Little piano, all right.
When we're not on stage, trying to help write songs and whatnot, way, I'm not real good at it.
Now, is there a horn? Does somebody play a horn? Ever see a horn with you guys?
We have our friend Jack today, and every once in a while, and play horn with us. We've been bringing him in more and more lately. We're trying to get him as a solid piece of the band, but even like 3 or 4 other bands, he's a pretty talented guy. So we're trying to steal him away.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully, we can do that.
All right. And who's on the drums? I forget.
That's right here, Junior.
That's right. Junior's playing the drums. Yeah, All right. That's right. I keep confused. I keep thinking that you're on drum kit. You play the bass guitar.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, what else you got? Anything else you want to share with the gang here? When's your next show? What do you got coming around in town here?
Oh, it'll probably be a little while before we're back in town again because we got a lot of stuff going on out of town. But we'll be playing Monday nights at the Fugue.
I'd like
to support that place. The place is real good, too.
No doubt.
Yeah, that's where we
Blue
started.
Blue Fugue, man. Open mics on Monday nights. And come out and check the schedule. Maybe you'll see our names on there for a Saturday or a Friday here in the next couple of months.
All right.
But right now we're just trying to concentrate on getting out of town, spreading our wings, and we'll locally be playing open mics here.
Well, you got a real nice piece of recorded material here to introduce yourselves to whoever you meet around the road. I really you guys did a great job with this, and I'm pleased to be able to share it with my listeners and get to share it with people before a lot of other people hear it maybe. So. Yeah.
Hey, everybody listening out there, we trying to get on the gig at Lollapalooza in Chicago.
Right on.
Go to sonicbiz.com, look us up, Zero Antiperspirant. We on there, bid for us. We need everybody to bid for us. I don't have no music up there yet. Got to put something in there tonight for sure. But come in there tomorrow, bid for us. We trying to get a gig up there, trying to make big noise out there. So please, if you're out there listening, you love our music, come support us.
Right on. I got to say something real fast.
Sure, we will
be playing at the Fugue tonight. You know, we don't do it very often, but yeah, we're playing tonight, man, and that's about around 12:30 or whatever. So
if you're not
busy, please come out there. And a special shout out to somebody listening. They know who they are.
Yeah. Well, that's cool because
Sonic, Sonic.
Like Brendan's saying, the Monday night thing at the Fugue is cool, and it's going on right now. In fact, that's the way I hook up with a lot of the bands that I feature on the program here. So I appreciate what those guys are doing down there, too.
Yeah.
And it's a real cool gang of people that's hanging out down there. So anyway, all right, guys, great. Thanks again, and girls. Right on. We'll play another piece of music here, and I can say goodbye to these guys, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about hemp. And cannabis a little bit more with Ricky Simpson up there in Nova Scotia. Yeah, this was a fitting combination of music and guest interview tonight. So anyway, okay, this one we're gonna hear Busy Bodies, I think, and we'll come on back and catch y'all in just a few minutes here. It's Mike. You listen to Radio Orbit, KOPN, Columbia, 89.5 FM. This is ZAP0 Antiperspirant. Thanks, man. You guys. All right, cheers. Back in with Rick Simpson in a minute. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. It's Mike. You listen to KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. My guest is Mr. Rick Simpson, and thank you, Rick, for being patient there while we had a chance to talk with the band members from ZAP, but we'll be uninterrupted now for the rest of the program, and let's get back to the story.
Okay, Mike. Well, as I said, we launched what they call a charter challenge here in Canada.
Right. Now, again, what is that so people understand?
Well, it's a charter. You know, under your charter of rights, you have the right to life. And under that right to life, I mean, what the truth here is, hemp is man's oldest known and safest medication. So, I mean, under your right to life, you should have, you know, free access to it.
Mm.
But, so I went out and I gathered these 48 affidavits, and then we held this charter challenge. And but they just dismissed the affidavits as being anecdotal. I love that word, you know.
Anecdotal, yeah.
Anecdotal, yes. It's anecdotal, all of this information about hemp. I mean, it's man's oldest known and safest medication. It's been used for thousands of years, but yet it's anecdotal. You know, there's nothing anecdotal about hemp medicine. It truly is. It's like I said before, it's a cure-all. You know, but see, the money's not there because it's a plant. You can't patent it. But they've hidden so much of the knowledge about hemp. You know, back in the 1800s, every pharmaceutical company in North America was producing hemp medicines. But they just, like I said, they couldn't patent it, and they never sold the public the real medicine. You see, in the 1800s, it was common practice for these pharmaceuticals to take these medicinal herbs and medicinal plants, and they would take the essential oil. They would you know, render them down, take the essential oil from them, and purify it, and sell it to the public as medicine.
After they sort of depotentiated it.
Well, no. In cannabis, or in the case of marijuana or hemp, when you make the essential oil from the hemp plant, you wind up making the same oil that I make. And so the pharmaceutical companies, they never supplied that to the public because they didn't want a cure all out there. You have a medicine like this. Well, see, in the 1800s. All the farmers were growing it right in their, you know, every farmer practically was growing hemp.
Right.
So if the farmers found out that they were actually growing a cure-all right in their own backyards, how long would the drug companies be in business? So, they, you know, drug companies do what drug companies do, but this is what they did in this case was truly evil.
Well,
and they did sell cannabis-based medicines, but what they did, they watered them down.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the medicines sold in the 1800s, they came in tinctures. They would take a little bit of oil, put it in the bottom of a bottle, add alcohol, and an eyedropper.
Mm-hmm.
And there was your cannabis tincture, but it's just watered-down hemp medicine.
Mm-hmm.
The real oil, you know, is the medicine. I guess I got off track there a little bit about the history of it.
Well, I think that's good, actually. And I want to talk, when you're ready, I want to talk more about the history. And I'd like to go way back. I'd like to talk about some of the further historical stuff. You mentioned earlier in the program already that this is a plant that has a long history of relationship with our species, actually, and perhaps one of the oldest cultivated plants known to man. And so at some point I'd like to talk about the sort of deep history.
Yes, that sounds good.
Okay.
Do you want me to just finish what went on with the courts, and then
Then we'll move a little bit further into the history. Sure.
Okay. Well, in the end, although I got up on the stand myself during the charter challenge and explained it, you know, that my, you know, my use of the medicine and how it's helped me with the post-concussion syndrome that was caused from my injury, and I told how that, you know, it cured my own cancer with it and everything, but in the end, they ruled against me. So that put me back into the ordinary court system.
Mm-hmm.
They said I could have an appeal or have another charter challenge, but I thought the best thing to do would be to put this before a jury. So, you know, I thought that, you know, surely they would understand it. So we went through a court case here last September, and I had 10 patients that I had subpoenaed and 6 doctors. And some of these patients had been cured with terminal cancers.
Terminal cancers.
So I wasn't worried. I just figured, well, as soon as my turn comes, and once I get these patients on the stand, then it'll be very clear what's going on here. But they went through. They had the RCMP commanding. They had 6 RCMP officers they brought in to testify against me. But in the end, the RCMP officers wound up testifying for me. because you know I showed them the full page article that was done a year before I was ever charged in the newspapers, and I said, you know, would a drug dealer go to the newspapers and announce what he's doing? Well, no, that's not the way a drug dealer would behave, and they all admitted that.
What was the article in the paper that you're referencing?
It was a full-page article done in the Spring Hill Record, and it just detailed everything, you know, what I was saying about the oil made from the marijuana plant and all of these people that it was, you know, helping with all of these different diseases.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very, it was a very elaborate article. And just like I said, I wasn't selling it anyway. I was giving it away.
Right.
So I thought the whole thing was kind of ludicrous. I mean, they charge you for trafficking. Well, all I did, I just give the people the medicine that would heal them. I didn't charge them for it, but still, under the Canadian or the Controlled Drugs and Substances Act here in Canada, if you even just pass a marijuana joint, you're trafficking. And even though there's no money involved, I couldn't believe these people.
Hmm.
But through the court case, they brought an RCMP officer. He was supposed to be an expert on marijuana. And I found that pretty funny because he got on the stand, like on cross-examination, the first question I asked him, I said, you're with the RCMP and you're here as an expert on marijuana. Is that correct? And he said, yes. I said, what do you know about hemp? And he said, well, I know nothing of hemp. And I looked at him and I said, you're a marijuana expert and you don't know that marijuana is hemp. Well, then he argued with me. Of all things, I couldn't believe it. He started, oh, no, marijuana is, see, the government has been telling people for years, marijuana is one thing and hemp is another. Well, that's not the truth at all. So, you know, he started this big argument, you know, hemp's a whole different thing. So I just walked over and I picked up the law. I had a copy of it there that was put in place in Canada in 1923. And it doesn't say a word about marijuana. It says Indian hemp.
Mm.
So, believe me, by the time I was done with their expert, he didn't look too much of an expert. But
in other words, if they're not the same thing, well, then marijuana is legal, right? Because the law only talks about Indian hemp.
Well, what it is what the government is basically in. When you look at all these different hemp strains, there's some strains that have very, very little THC.
Mm-hmm. And some
that's the strains that the government calls hemp.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the ones that have a high amount of THC on them, that's the strains, or that's the type that they call marijuana. Mm-hmm. And that's see, they use the word marijuana to villainize the hemp plant to the public. You know, back in the 1930s, with all that reefer madness nonsense mm-hmm. and stuff they come out with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the truth was that nobody, you know, nobody dies from hemp medicine. It's the most wonderful medicine there is, but you know, the idea, you know, with the big money, they didn't want hemp around because it was a danger to so many big industries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, you know, with hemp, it can detoxify the soil. My God, we can, you know, building materials, paper, medicine, you know, biodiesel, it'll produce alcohol. I've been in contact here the last while with a gentleman in California by the name of Jack Hare.
Sure, Jack Hare. H-E-R-E-R.
Jack Hare. Mm-hmm. He wrote the book in 1985 called The Emperor Wears No Clothes.
That's right. Yeah, I've spoken with Jack before, yeah.
Yeah, he's a wonderful man, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he's under treatment right now, too. Jack had a stroke in 2001.
That's right.
And it affected quite badly. It affected his speech. And so, Jack, I was talking to him last night.
Yeah, that's the only reason he hasn't been on the program, because he has a difficult time communicating with words right now. So
I think you're going to see Jack back on your program, because he's been on it for 10 days now. And last night when I was talking to him on his TV show, he was talking so much better. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
You know, it's like I said, this medicine can work for practically anything.
And this is Jack is using hemp oil internally. He's actually taking it as an internal supplement of some sort.
Yes, yeah,
okay.
That's what all the people do. I mean, if you have an internal disorder or cancer or anything like that, you just take it in small doses and your body adjusts to it very rapidly, and then you can up your doses. But it's so benign. I mean, you cannot die from this. You can sit and take as much of this medicine as you want. You can't kill yourself with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's no addiction to it. That's the other wonderful thing.
Hmm.
Well, like I said, the results we've had with this just boggles the mind.
Amazing.
But I thought in the court, when I was going through the court system, you know, like I said, in the end, the RCMP basically all wound up testifying for me. But unfortunately, I mean, it seemed up here from the government's point of view, the only thing they wanted to do was find me guilty.
Right, one way or the other.
I thought we had the case won, but I found out shortly, I think it was the day after the jury had come back with the verdict, one of the people in the courtroom called me up, and they witnessed the Crown prosecutor exiting the jury room about 3 or 4 minutes before the jury came in to render my verdict. And, I mean, that's jury tampering.
Hmm.
But that was all reported to the court system, but they wouldn't do a thing about it.
That's
unbelievable.
Hmm.
So, anyway, the jury, they found me guilty on all counts. So I was very disgusted by that point. I just couldn't believe it. So they took me in for sentencing, although, you know, throughout the trial, they would not let my patients on the stand. They would not let the doctors on the stand. And they wouldn't let me introduce any of the scientific evidence to back up what I'm saying. So, like I said, the whole thing was I was just totally disillusioned.
Amazing.
And but when they took me in for the sentencing, it was very strange because the judge himself, Supreme Court Judge Felix Cascione, he said in his 34 years, he said in the legal system, he said, I've never seen a case like this. He said there was no criminal intent. And he said the scientific evidence is there to back up everything he's saying. And he has all these people that have used this hemp oil for all these different ailments. And they're all saying the same thing, that it worked wonders for them. So in the end, I was facing 12 years in jail for cultivating. They dropped the possession of 30 grams or less. They dropped that. But they still had me for cultivation and trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
So under those two charges, I was still facing 12 years in jail. He gave me a $2,000 fine with no restrictions.
Hmm.
So this judge didn't look at me as a criminal.
Wow, very, very encouraging, actually.
But the problem was, you know, with the legal system, you see, in here in Canada, I think it's basically the same in the States, like half of the lawyers in Canada are making a living off marijuana cases.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they don't want this law to go away. You know, the truth is, I mean, in 1923, when the Canadian government, what they did, essentially, they took the most medicinal plant in the world out of medicine
mm-hmm.
in 1923. They prohibited it from, you know, its medicinal use. Well, when you take the most medicinal plant in the world out of medicine and people are dying, I mean, that's 85 years ago. And from that point on, basically the government in Canada had been committing genocide against their own people mm-hmm. by prohibiting that medicine.
Well,
they never had any right to do it.
Yeah, the United States was 10 years behind or so, but certainly with the same agenda. And let me do a quick ID here because we're top of the hour. It's KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. My name is Mike Hagan. You're listening to Radio Orbit. My guest is Rick Simpson. And Rick on the web, by the way, at Phoenix Tears. PhoenixTears.ca if you want to find more information about Rick and the work that he's doing and the stuff that he's involved with. But, please continue, Rick, but I want to add that there is a common thread that keeps showing itself on my radar, and it goes back at least 85, 100 years or so, and it's just a general idea of things that are very beneficial or helpful in a medicinal health sense to people have been methodically and very, in a sinister manner, kept from the general public, and not just in this country and in Canada, but essentially worldwide.
Oh, yes, that's very true. I mean, there were so many industries that were against hemp anyway. You know, The DuPonts with their nylons, they were against it. And, you know, the oil industry, all of the big money, you know, pulp and paper, they don't want hemp around. Although hemp makes much better paper, and it doesn't use there's so many chemicals involved in the paper processes today, you know, with pulp and paper, but you can get away from most of the chemicals if you use hemp.
Hmm.
But it's just the path that big money, it's basically rampant capitalism. You know, they're out to make the money, and anything that gets in their way, such as hemp, then they're out to stomp it out.
Mm.
But the truth is, today the world we live in today, I mean, we live on a poisoned planet, and the big money has done this. And, the only future I see, and the same as, you know, Jack Harrow preaches, you know, we need basically a hemp-based economy. You know, the people have to go back to the land and, you know, grow this wonderful plant. And we have to get in touch with nature again. You know, today, the world we live in today, you know, in like back in the hungry 30s, after in the Depression, when Wall Street collapsed in 1929, I mean, people, there was still a lot of people on the land in those days. And although, there was a great deal of suffering during the Depression, people were much more self-reliant than they are today.
Right, right. It's very true.
I mean, if something happens today, look at the situation we'd be in.
Mm.
So, to me, you know, everything that Jack Harrer is saying, I am so impressed with this man. I mean, that book, The Emperor Wears No Clothes, it's the finest book that was ever written on hemp. And Jack, he really brought out all of the ancient history of hemp. And the history that the government had been trying to hide.
Let's talk about some of that. Let's talk about some of the way back stuff that Jack talks about in The Emperor Wears No Clothes.
Well, when you get into the I'll more or less stick with the medicinal side of things, but the writings go back about 2800 BC China. The first writings that it was recorded about using hemp as medicine.
5,000 years ago, essentially.
Yes, well, 5,000 years. It was used for thousands of years before that, you know, for, like, to, you know, make cloth and, you know, clothing, that type of thing. It goes way, way back in man's history. But the earliest writings go back to about 2800 B.C., although I strongly suspect it was used as a medicine long before that. But the Chinese, basically, they've used hemp for everything. And then, it's strange, but like in 700 years before Christ, in the ancient Persian religious text called the Vedad, they listed the 10,000 most medicinal plants known to man. You know, and you got to imagine in those days, because there was no big hospitals or trauma centers, you know, people relied on what was around them to heal themselves. But the number one plant on that list, 2,700 years ago, cannabis. So it's been known for thousands of years that cannabis is the most medicinal plant. And even 200 years after Christ, there was Chinese surgeons doing operations using hemp as an anesthetic. And they were doing organ manipulations and that type of thing with no pain, you know, and no harm. Because, like I said, if you take enough hemp, you don't feel a thing. That's another wonderful thing about it.
Huh, interesting.
But basically, it's been used as a political and religious football all through man's history. You know, many of the Asian religions, the ancient religions, well, in many of these religions, hemp is a sacrament.
Mm.
You know, it's a holy plant. But yet when Christianity caught on, well, Christianity, what they use for a sacrament is alcohol. So they went badly wrong there. But unfortunately, Christianity has a lot to do with, you know, basically hiding this medicine.
Mm.
All through the Inquisition, if you were caught using hemp medicine, well, you were a heretic. You know, they'd have to take you out and do away with you.
Right.
I mean, it's man's history is a very ugly thing.
It's a very strange and ugly thing. And with to what end, I always wonder, you know, is this all leading towards something, or is it all just this random silliness, or is there really a purpose? But at any rate, that's for greater minds than mine to resolve, I guess. But the bottom line here is that it seems pretty obvious that this is, you know, a medicine that has been way underestimated. I mean, even the people that talk, you know, in the States here, you know, there are 13. Maybe 14 states that that actually allow for the legal consumption of cannabis. If you have a prescription from your doctor and you're in the right county or whatever it is. But at any rate, there are certain places where you can do it. And in fact, where I live here in Columbia, Missouri, even though we're sort of right in the middle of the so-called Bible Belt here in the States, we have a relatively liberal law with regard to possession and that sort of thing here here in town, but as a general rule, I mean, this stuff is just very difficult to get, and even the people that do talk about medicinal marijuana are missing, it seems like, the great majority of the power of the thing, that it's much more
potentially powerful than people are really even talking about.
Oh, that's right, Mike. I mean, I have a lot of people that come to me and say, well, I smoked pot all my life. You know, how could I have cancer? You know, and the truth is, the minute you light a joint on fire, you know, the basically 90% or more of the medicinal value is truly going up in smoke.
Hmm.
You know, but when you take the raw THC, you know, right in the oil, and you put that into your body, and that gets into your bloodstream, well, it goes all through the body, and we've treated brain cancers, lung cancers, bowel cancers. It doesn't make any difference where the cancer is. But what we, you know, have people do basically is flood their system with THC, and the THC goes to work on the cancer, and it does a magnificent job.
Wherever it may be.
But Jack, with you know, what Jack Hare did, I mean, he brought back so much of the history. It was used for ropes and sails. It really played such an important role in man's history. I mean, years ago, we couldn't, if you didn't have hemp, you couldn't even go to war.
Right.
That's about the only thing the human race has ever been good at is killing each other, but hemp was a necessary. If you did not have hemp, you couldn't even go to war.
Yeah,
you had to make the ropes, you needed the sails, you needed hemp for so many different things. And, you know, Jack brought back so much of the history that, back in the years ago, I mean, in farmers in North America used to grow hemp and pay their taxes with it.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, in many of the states, if you were a farmer and you didn't grow hemp, they'd put you in jail.
Yeah, you were actually required to grow it. Yeah.
You were required, that's right, if you were a farmer years ago. But, you know, that's how important it was. But they, you know, as time progressed, you know, and we got into the 1900s and all of our new wonderful technology and, you know, nylon and plastic and all of that nonsense, well, like I said, they didn't want hemp around, so they did everything they could do to basically bury the whole history of hemp.
Mm-hmm.
But Jack Hare, he brought it back, I mean, with that book. There it is. You know, the emperor wears no clothes. And as far as I'm concerned, that book should be in every high school in North America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to teach the students some real history, teach them that book. That's the truth.
Yeah, I agree. It is a fantastic book. And
Jack put out a great video, too, in 1999. It was called The Emperor of Hemp. I think you can go right to emperorofhemp.com and buy the video there. But just a magnificent video, and it, you know, told the whole story, you know, what Jack went through. I mean, they tried to write him off as a nut, but, you know, I mean, the truth is Jack Hare is the greatest hemp activist of all time,
mm-hmm.
and history will recognize him as such. But when Jack got wind of what I was doing, you know, I mean, he's seen the video and everything, and then we had phone conversations and email. We were contacted back and forth that way. But, Jack's best friend, this Captain Ed, him and Ed had been activists since the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ed died in 1991 from leukemia.
Mm.
And when Jack called me up, he said, Rick, what would this oil do for leukemia? And I said, well, Jack, it's the same as all other cancers, but I said, leukemia is even easier than most because I said, as soon as you start taking the oil, the THC goes into your bloodstream.
And that's where the...
Well, if you have blood cancer, you're not going to have it for long. It just totally blew Jack away, because he knew so much of the history, but he didn't know about the pharmaceutical companies, and he didn't know, you know, he knew it was medicine, but he didn't know the depth of it until he seen our video.
Uh-huh.
And so it's just a... It's woke up so many people, you know, over the last while here. Well, like, the video's been out now for a bit over 3 months, and we're up over 200,000 hits on YouTube. There's all kinds of sites out there now that are hosting our movie, just so other people can see it. You know, we encourage people to download it. There's no charge or anything. Download it, spread it, you know, tell your friends. Show the people. Because, today, we're so desperate with all of the cancer and everything that all of these diseases out there today. You know, we need something that works. And this is an alternative. I mean, what I encourage people to do is grow their own. This is medicine that you could actually grow and produce yourself and heal yourself. You know, we're at the mercy of the way they've got it arranged right now. We're at the mercy of the big drug companies and the medical system. They tell us to take chemotherapy and radiation and all of this nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, chemotherapy is no more than poison. That's
right.
All it is.
Right.
And matter of fact, the people that come to me, That's the first question I ask them. You know, are you done with the medical system? And, you know, if they tell me that they want to go back and take chemo and take the oil at the same time, generally I just tell them, you know, we'll go one way or the other, because it's senseless to go through the effort of making, you know, the real medicine and then have the patient turn around and go and take massive doses of poison from the medical system. I mean, you know, how can anyone look at chemotherapy as a medical treatment? I mean, they give you enough poison to knock out your hair, and they have the nerve to call that medicine. I mean, it's ridiculous.
No, and there are plenty of people that would testify that chemo, radiation, and surgery, these are the three primary treatments for cancer, and the three primary money makers, of course. You either treat it with drugs, chemicals, poisons, as you put it. You treat it with radiation, which of course is very dangerous, as everybody knows. Or you treat it with a knife, and it's essentially the same as it's been for 50 years. I mean, the same treatments. They the cancer researchers and the cancer doctors and the people that are in the industry, they've gotten better at one thing: diagnosis, and they've come up with many more different kinds of cancer and all this stuff, many of which are actually manufactured in the freaking laboratory, it turns out. But regardless, treatment has essentially stayed the same for all these years, you know, even though billions and billions of dollars have been thrown at, you know, cancer research supposedly to find, you know, a cure or cures. And I mean, after quite a few years of my own snooping around this business, I'm certain that there's more than one cure out there. This is one of them for sure, and a big one, I have a feeling. But it's sort of a standard operating procedure to make sure that anything that's effective and actually cures, as opposed to just treats for the rest of your life, that stuff is just fully verboten, you know?
Well, the truth, I think that the truth is the drug companies want to control it all. I mean, I'm also a big believer in vitamin therapies and that type of thing. And you are right. I think there are many cures for cancer. Although I think hemp oil is for THC, I think that's about the best one. It's like I said, with the people that take it, it's so benign. There's no danger to it.
Right.
But, you know, I see people with chemo, and it makes you wonder, because you'll see people go take chemotherapy. Now, like, one person will take it, and it'll kill them in no time, just bang. And then other people, they can take chemo sometimes for years. Mm. It's just, everybody has, you know, like, we're all different.
Right.
And it seems that some people, you know, have quite a resistance to the poison, where other ones just die, you know, rapidly. And the numbers themselves reflect that. I mean, here in this country, well, here in Canada, we've got a population around 30 million.
Okay.
We've got about 8 Canadians are dying every hour from cancer, so about 200 a day. And so that's 1,400 people a week are dying from cancer here in this country. Now, there's about 2,800 people every week that are diagnosed with cancers of all forms in Canada. Now, that would include skin cancers, bowel cancers, lung cancers, you know, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
But so there's the numbers right there. 2,800 people every week diagnosed with cancer. Half of that number, 1,400, are dying. Now, why is this? You know, all of, like you said, all of this money that has supposedly been spent on research.
Right.
And I mean, and these studies, they indicate, you know, like I said, the study that I heard on the radio, when we started tracking it back to find out more and more about him, well, I mean, they knew then that it would kill cancer cells.
Right. And, you know, there are current stories in the last few years that, again, have made the same claims, you know, that THC and certain cannabinoids in cannabis will kill cancer cells on contact, this sort of thing. But again, things that should be 4-inch headlines just end up becoming back page in some scientific journal, and they never get acted upon.
Well, it seems that it's awful hard to wake the public up. See, back here about 2 years ago, I ran in the federal election here in Canada against our local member of parliament. And when I went to these auditoriums and whatnot to speak, it was just like the public just sat there with their mouths open. You know, I said, you know, this is a cure for cancer. Nobody was disputing me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because the thing is, you can't dispute the truth.
Mm.
And the beauty of this now we have the video out, and we have the written recipe up on phoenixtears.ca. you know, I encourage people to watch the documentary Run from the Cure, and then go to the website and get the written, you know, making the medicine, the getting the written recipe. It's much more detailed, and it answers, you know, most of the questions that people ask. But the beauty of this is anybody can make it. And now we're getting emails from back from all over the world where people have, you know, downloaded the video, made their own medicine, they're treating their own loved ones and friends, and they're getting the same results we are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of time before this becomes, you know, public knowledge.
Right. Well,
it's going to come.
I'm certain that you're right about that. I've been feeling it, the tug of it myself for the last few years very strongly, actually. Let me ask about the video. You mentioned it a couple times. It's called Run from the Cure. I actually have it's not the first edition, but it's the first segment, I guess, is the way to put it, up on my website. You can watch that right on the front page there at MikeHagan.com. But if I'm correct, at least the series that I saw, there were six or seven segments all up on YouTube, and they tell an amazing story. And I'm sure that the way that information travels and the way that this type of information travels, and I know there's a very large appetite for information about hemp and cannabis out there right now. And when you put something like this on YouTube, I bet you that thing went everywhere.
It's gone worldwide now. We've got it. It's been translated into, I think, five different languages. We were contacted here from Russia. They're translating it into Russian. So, I mean, this is the idea, to spread the world, you know, the word of this medicine all over the world. And give the power, you know, the human race deserves a chance. You know, I mean, this is our lives. It's our bodies. And no one has the right to tell us what we use for medicine.
Right. No, it's true. It's true. And there is, you know, the underlying thing, and I don't want to get stuck on it, but it's been something that I've been dealing with in a personal sort of quest of mine recently. But there is apparently, you know, a philosophy and an ideology of eugenics and population control that's much more pervasive than I think people had realized. And there are very powerful groups and gangs and organizations and institutions that think it's actually horrible news to imagine that there might be a cure or a number of cures for cancer. The idea that those 1,400 people, you know, don't die is a horrible thought to some of these people. They love the fact that people are dropping off, and they want to see more people drop off, actually. And that's sort of the mindset that we're sort of struggling against, unfortunately. But I think it's the fact of the matter.
Well, what I see with this, with hemp medicine, I mean, a lot of people are horrified, you know, but I'll say, you know, like, if it was used properly as a preventative medicine. I mean, when I started school, they used to give us these cod liver oil capsules.
Mm, sure.
Well, give a child the cod liver oil, but put a little bit of THC in with it.
Mm.
You know, not enough to get them high or anything. But by taking this, you know, small doses of the THC, it would prevent, like children from, it would prevent diseases like diabetes, MS, cancer.
Mm.
What would happen is we would all live much, you know, longer, healthier lives. And I think, you know, that longevity is, you know, why shouldn't we live longer? And this, with today, with, you know, with the chemicals and everything and the food supply, of course, that's not even safe to eat anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we need something that'll help us.
No, I agree. You used a provocative term earlier in the interview. You said, you know, we're living essentially on a poison planet. And unfortunately, you know, for people who are paying attention, this is really the case. I mean, we're in the middle of a gigantic and completely out of control chemistry experiment, and we're all living in the middle of it. I mean, the air, the water, the earth herself have been pumped full of who knows what, and this is the environment that we live in, and there's nothing you can't hide from it. You know, it's not like you can go eat organic and whatever that means, you know, but I mean, and then act like you're somehow shielded from these other things. I mean, we're literally swimming in it.
Well, there's no place for the public to hide. You're absolutely right. You know, all the material today, the foams and all of that, the off-gassing. But it's the food supply that really alarms me the most.
Mm.
I know the air is polluted, and we have poisoned this planet. But when you're supplying the food supply that the public has access to, should at least be safe. And today, I mean, you look at what they're doing just in the beef industry. You know, they're filling cows full of corn, and this causes like ulcers in the cow's stomach. And so they have to give these cows massive doses of antibiotics while they're giving them the corn. And then at the same time, they're giving them growth hormones. And we're the ones that eat all of this stuff in the end. And, I mean, it's just horrible. I walk into a grocery store now, and I'm scared to buy anything. Because it's more or less a matter of what's safe here to eat.
Hmm.
And that's very frightening. But, I think the only future that mankind can have is, like I said, get back to the land. And, you know, the people start having, in today's world, I mean, with the internet and everything, you can't hide the truth about things like hemp anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They did it for years and got away with it. But once the internet come out there and all of this information and so many studies and the history of this plant itself,
right.
You know, there's no possible way that they can deny it. And it's so simple. I mean, I've got into a bit of an argument here over the last while with this group in the States called Normal.
Mm.
You know, and they're supposed to be out there to legalize hemp or, to help medicinal patients.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, they're just there to muddy the waters.
I
don't think that Normal wants to do anything as far as legalization. Again, it's just more lawyers making money.
I agree with you fully, and I'm
when I contacted them about this, I told them, I said, it's simple. Just go out. Make some of the medicine, make some oil yourself, find someone with skin cancer and treat them. Watch what happens. And they send me an email back telling me it's snake oil. well, that's fine if you don't want to use the medicine when your time comes to dance with cancer. If you want to take chemotherapy and all that, it's up to you, that's your business.
Yeah, yeah.
But don't deny it, don't deny the medicine that'll work to the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
The people's minds, the human race it seems that we are much easier to brainwash than the average person would think. You know, the television shows you see, when I was young, like Ben Casey and Dr. Kildare and Marcus Welby, and, all doctors are out to save lives. And, the part that I can't understand here, I mean, we've got dozens and dozens of doctors here in Nova Scotia that have seen patients with all kinds of different diseases, and they've seen what this oil did. And even people with terminal cancer, they've seen terminal cancer, cancers that they couldn't cure. They've seen it cured right before their eyes. They've seen the CAT scans, the X-ray results.
Right.
But yet, these same doctors, the next person that walks through their door that has cancer, what does he get?
Right.
And, the doctor actually should be obligated to tell the patient, use hemp oil.
Mm.
Because it's right in his Hippocratic oath, I shall not administer poisons.
Mm-hmm.
But these doctors, they don't mention the hemp oil. They give you the choice, back to chemo again. They realize it too. I mean, all of these cancer doctors, if you got a cure for cancer, what are they going to do for a living?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good point. And I mean, this is one of the biggest issues, is that it's become an organism almost that requires the disease to remain in order for it to remain. And so there's very little incentive for the cancer industry to cure cancer, because then it eliminates the need for the cancer industry, essentially. And the same goes for many other different industries when you talk about some of these technologies, including hemp, but other technologies as well. So it really is a catch-22 for everybody, in a way,
Well, I've been doing this now for over 5 years in this country, and I have yet to be ever, I have never been contacted by one, not one single Canadian doctor has ever contacted me. Not one. But strangely enough...
That is amazing.
The American doctors, I've had all kinds of calls from American doctors and the American College of Physicians. That organization represents 124,000 doctors in the United States. And they're screaming, legalize this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not for smoking it, but doing what I'm saying, the natural THC in your body. And so I have a much higher regard for American doctors than I do Canadian ones, I can tell you that.
I'll be darned. Well, I'll tell you what, we're at the bottom of the hour here. Let's take a little break, okay?
Okay, Mike.
And we'll come back and talk some more. I want to talk about methodology for actually making this stuff, okay?
Okay.
All right, everybody, we'll be back with Rick Simpson in just a few minutes. In the meanwhile, let's hear another piece of music here from our friends ZAP. This one is called Figuring It Out. It's Mike. You listen to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM, on the web, kopn.org. And my guest, Rick Simpson, can be found on the web at Phoenix Tears, PHOENIXTEARS, phoenixtears.ca. Okay, once again, ZAP, back in a few. It's Mike. You listen to Radio Orbit. I'm not a story to talk about. It's called Figuring It Out. All the stuff you're hearing tonight from Zap is from a disc that's called The Pressure, recently released here in Columbia, Missouri. Those guys and girls on the road this summer, touring around the Midwest. Hopefully, if you get a little bit of luck, you can see them play somewhere here in Missouri, over there in Lawrence, Kansas, maybe St. Louis, Kansas City, up around Chicago way. And, well, you can find out more about their tour and all that stuff on the web at myspace.com/ZAPmusic1. All right, it's Mike. You're listening to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. Catch the Rockabilly Corner tomorrow at 3 p.m. from 3 until 5. Big Cat Matt will be spinning some of the best rockabilly tunes that you ever heard. And I'll be helping him out, actually, for part of the show at least, probably for at least the second half of the show. And hope you all can join us and listen to some good rockabilly music tomorrow afternoon around 3 o'clock, okay? All right, once again, Rick Simpson, phoenixtears.ca is the website. We're talking about hemp, cannabis, and the remarkable medicinal qualities of hemp oil. And so let's get back to it and talk some more with Rick. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Mike.
Thank you for sticking around late into the night.
Oh, no, I'm enjoying this. This is great. Like I said, it's just all about spreading the word.
No doubt. Well, this is a good one, and we'll get this interview up on the web in a day or two, and we'll share it with as many people as we can as well. And like you say, as you and I were talking off the air, there is a difficult task in fighting the truth. I mean, the truth is the truth, and it's the best defense. And with the communication technologies that we now have available to us, it's getting harder and harder to hide the truth.
Well, what I see is, you know, like so many people are suffering with things like psoriasis and arthritis and so many diseases that, you know, that this medicine just works magnificently for. I mean, I've seen people, you know, basically almost crippled up with arthritis,
mm-hmm.
and get them on this oil in no time, they're back to work, they're feeling good. You know, it makes so much difference. And if there was a downside to this, see, back in 2003 when I started supplying this to people, I was a little bit afraid of this too because of all this propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
So my next door neighbor, Larry Bjarnason, they're both college, him and his wife are both college educated, and I asked him, they're good with computers, and I asked him if they could look into this, you know, to try to find the evil in this medicine, or, you know, find the truth out.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been researching it now for 5 years, and we have yet to find anything bad about hemp. Anything we've ever been told that's bad, you know, there's just a pack of lies.
Mm-hmm.
There's no foundation for what the government has told us. You know, like all of, there's just so much nonsense out there, and you see these commercials about hemp, you know, they're almost laughable.
Mm-hmm.
But they always, you know, generally if you see anything about hemp on television, it's usually some 16-year-old kid, you know, going tee-hee-hee. Well, there's no cheek and chong in this.
Mm.
I mean, when you've got a serious disease or you have cancer, well, goodbye cheek and chong.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is just strictly about the medicine. I don't tell people to smoke marijuana, although, I mean, it, as far as I'm concerned, it's your choice. It's, you know, I don't tell people not to.
Right, I agree.
But the medicinal aspect, I mean, the smoking it is the least medicinal way of using it. I mean, I've had a lot of people, like you said, with arthritis and back problems, that type of thing, and they were smoking cannabis to help them. You know, it would help them sleep, and it did ease the pain.
Mm-hmm.
But once they got on the oil, it's just like goodbye pain.
Right, I understand.
It's just amazing.
All right, well, let's talk, if we could, a little bit about the oil itself and how you do it, okay? In other words, how is it made? And I guess that's the place to start.
Well, most of the material I use comes from indica strains.
Okay.
There's in the main, the predominant strains, well, there's indicas, sativas, and ruberalis. Well, ruberalis is really more or less just like, it's Russian hemp. It's very low THC.
Okay.
And the sativas, the sativas and the indicas, I find them to be the most, by far the most medicinal. Now,
What's the difference between a sativa and an indica for those who are unfamiliar?
Well, to anybody that smokes marijuana, they would understand, like, some types of marijuana, you know, kind of energize you.
Mm-hmm.
They make you want to go do things. That's usually related to the sativa strains. It has that effect. the indica strains, they make you want to go lay down. You know, you'll smoke a little bit of indica and you'll want to get on the Chesterfield.
You'll relax. Well, yeah.
But for people like with serious diseases like cancer, that type of thing, I like to use an indica strain. Because, you know, like sleep and rest is so important to the healing process. And when they get on this oil, what they find is they do sleep a lot more. But I would strongly recommend anybody, like anybody with depression, that type of thing, a good sativa oil will certainly pick you up. But I don't want, you know, like someone with cancer taking sativa oils because they'll be out there trying to paint the barn or something, and that's not what I want. But I've just had magnificent results. It's all like sativa or indica. They're both very, very medicinal. Essentially, all I'm doing is I'm taking, you know, the plant material, making sure it's bone dry.
Any of the material.
And just put it in a 5-gallon pail.
Any of the material, including stems and all that?
You know, if I'm treating a cancer patient, what I'm looking for is basically the bud material.
Okay.
And the small leaves next to the bud.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have a lot of THC on them.
Right.
The bigger leaves have very little THC, and most strains have very little THC on the stalk.
Okay.
So predominantly, I look at the buds and the small leaves.
Now, is that the little crystalline, sparkly stuff that you see on the bud and on the leaf of the plant? Is that indicative of any of this stuff?
That's the medicine.
That is okay.
That's the cannabinoids or THC. But you can see it. That's right. When you pick up a good hemp bud, if you got good light, you can see the crystal. It looks like frost, and that truly is the medicine. So what I'm doing, I'm taking usually a pound or two at a time, and I'll put it in a bucket, and then you can use different solvents. I use pure naphtha. I get naphtha right from the refinery. It has no additives. So I've had good results with naphtha.
What is that? That's a gas of some sort?
Yes, white gas.
Uh-huh.
Actually, Coleman fuel is naphtha. But the only problem is with Coleman fuel is they put rust inhibitors in it.
Huh.
And I don't like the idea of making oil with something that's got rust inhibitors in it.
Okay.
So generally I go with, up here in Canada, we have what they call 99% isopropyl alcohol. But you want something with no water in it. You know, like 99% isopropyl is good. Naphtha works very well. Ether is another thing that'll make magnificent oil. And there's a lot of people out there today using these butane extractions, too, honeybee extractors, that type of thing.
Uh-huh.
And that does make a decent oil, but I found with butane it's very dangerous. and when the oil comes out at the bottom, the oil still has butane in it. So you have to get rid of the butane. You know, you want the solvent, whatever solvent you're using, you want as much of the residue out of the oil as possible.
Right, right.
I don't seriously consider butane as an option, because if you're actually looking at doing pounds of hemp, then you'd need so much butane. The proper way really to do this is to do it with big stills. And that way you can boil the solvent off and recapture it and then reuse it. But most people don't understand distilling, so on the video and on the website, we just explained a simple way that you can make it with a rice cooker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just do what I call a free boil. You just boil the solvent off, and I put them through the different steps. It's a very simple procedure, and it's something anybody can do basically in an afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
You can make your own medicine. But
how much yield will you get from X amount of plant material? In other words,
I generally find usually if you've got a dry pound of good hemp bud, you usually get about 60 grams of high grade oil.
60.
About 2 ounces of oil out of a pound of dry bud is all you get.
Okay.
But that same 2 ounces of oil, you know, taking most people can usually take them about 3 months to take a cancer treatment.
Mm-hmm.
But that two ounces of oil will cure most serious cancers. And if we could get the medical system doing the right thing here, why don't they do the same thing to people that they did to all of these mice? You know, they go into mice and they inject the tumor with THC. Why don't they do the same thing with people? You know, the medical system should be inoculating tumors. But instead, the only way, you see, I can't do that because I'm not a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But so my method basically is just flooding the body with THC. And when you start taking it, it goes all through your body. you know, into the brain, it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, is you know, as it comes in contact with cancer, well, goodbye cancer.
Amazing.
But so many people come to me and they're like diabetics, that type of thing, or they'll have arthritis and cancer. Well, at the same time that their cancer's being cured, they're getting rid of their arthritis. Most people that go on it, what we've seen, if you're a diabetic, you're going to find that once you get on the oil, you won't need insulin anymore. If you're on blood pressure medication, same thing. You won't need blood pressure because it lowers your blood pressure. But essentially what I'm doing is just putting it, you know, the material, the nice dry material in a bucket, and I dampen it with solvent, and then I use a stick just to crush it up with a stick, and then I add more solvent until it's, you know, there's enough solvent that it's covering the material.
Mm-hmm.
And then just as in the video, it shows I work the material for about 3 minutes, and then I pour off, by that time the THC is dissolving off into the solvent.
Right.
So then I pour the solvent oil mix off, and then I add some fresh solvent, more fresh solvent to the plant material, and do that wash again for about 3 minutes with the stick. So you know, the first wash you get about 80% of the available THC.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do it again, the second wash, that gives you the other 20%.
Okay.
So you just pour both of those washes together and then pour them through a coffee filter. And in the end result, it generally comes out, it, like the white gas or alcohol is white too. In the end, it usually looks like very similar to gasoline, kind of an amber color.
Mm.
And so like I said, once you get it through the coffee filter, then you can start boiling it off in the rice cooker. You need a well-ventilated area, and usually I put a fan behind it to carry the fumes of the solvent away. There is no smell from the hemp oil. But the solvent fumes are very flammable,
mm-hmm.
and you've got to be careful with them. But you just keep boiling the solvent off until you've put the last of what you had to work with in the rice cooker, and then as it's coming down on that final boil down, I usually add about 10 drops of water, and then I pick the rice cooker up and I keep the contents like swirling,
mm-hmm.
and that helps release the solvent residues and that type of thing off. And as the oil comes down, you can see it thickening up a bit. It's still runny, but you know, you'll see less activity.
Mm-hmm.
Like once most of the solvent is out of it, it's still a little bit of bubbling going on because of the water. But basically, your oil's just about done. So then you pour it from the rice cooker into a small stainless steel container, and then I usually just put it on a coffee warmer. And the coffee warmer will have enough heat that it will evaporate the water off.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see no more activity on the surface of the oil, then the oil's ready to use. It's just, you can take a syringe and draw the oil up into the syringe. And, you know, once the oil cools, it's like a very thick grease.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it can be really thick. I mean, you could actually build a canoe out of some of this stuff. But I've actually had some that I put in tubes. When you went to try to get it out, you couldn't get it back out. So what you have to do is take the syringe and just drop it in a cup of hot water 2 or 3 minutes before you go to use it, and that'll heat the oil up enough that you can get the oil out.
Mm.
But people start taking small doses of this. Generally what I recommend for cancer patients is 4 doses a day, about half the size of a grain of dry rice. Just a little speck of this stuff,
mm-hmm.
like breakfast, dinner, supper, and about an hour before they go to bed. And then after about 4 or 5 days, then just gently start increasing your dosages.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find that your body will adapt to it. And in a very short time, you can eat, you know, more and more and more. And it's, as I said, most people can go through the whole treatment in about 3 months. There is the odd person that has what I would classify as a low tolerance. I have seen people take 6 months to eat the 2 ounces, but they still get the same results. It cured their cancer.
Hmm. Remarkable. Okay. What's the difference between hemp seed oil and hemp oil? These are different things?
Oh, yes. Well, hemp seed oil, I think hemp seed oil is very beneficial itself, but it has there's no THC or no amount of THC in hemp oil or hemp seed oil. And so it has omega, you know, 3, omega 6. It's good for the body.
Right.
But it doesn't, you know, if you're relying on hemp seed oil to cure cancer, I wouldn't hold my breath on that one because it just doesn't have the THC in it.
All right. Okay.
You have to have the tetrahydrocannabinol to get the magic.
Okay. All right, so...
Oh, I should mention here, Mike, too, a lot of people get this mixed up, too, because they go into these health food stores, and you'll see big bottles of hemp oil.
Mm.
It says right on it, hemp oil. But when you turn it around and look at the back, in the back, in small print, it always says hemp seed oil.
Uh-huh.
And so I've had a lot of people contact me and said, well, I can buy this same stuff down at the health food store. And then I have to inform them that, no, I'm sorry, that you can't.
Right. Now, is anybody manufacturing this stuff and selling it?
Well, no. It is being sold. There is a company in England called GW Pharmaceuticals. They manufacture a substance called Sativex, and it's a cannabis-based medicine. But then it's being used here right in Canada now. It's being marketed by Bayer, you know, the big aspirin company.
God.
Yeah.
God help
the big
us.
Ones. But the trouble is here is the money. They're charging a great deal of money to for this medicine.
Right.
When in reality, it's just, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, what's the difference between Sativex and the oil that I make? Well, actually, the oil I make would be much stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So you would take less of it.
Right.
Anything to do with pharmaceutical companies, the minute they get their fingers in this, like, they turn it into a racket.
Right.
All about the money. There's been talk about them adding it to chemotherapies, too, which I find, very ludicrous because, why would you want to take the cure for cancer and add it to a bunch of poisons?
Mm.
That really doesn't make any sense to me. But then again, when it comes to the research out there, and what they do, none of it really makes any sense. There's been so many researchers that have known the truth about this for so many years, but the government always seems to find a way to shut them up.
Mm.
So that's the reason when we brought this video out, it was just to spread the word, and this way anybody that has a few bucks can go out and buy some material, and chances are they can cure themselves.
Amazing.
Like hemp oil itself is just like its own medical system by itself. When you walk into a drugstore and if you have hemp oil in your hand, you look at the material that they're selling in these drugstores, and there's nothing in the drugstore that will do what the hemp oil will do.
Hmm.
So you lose that reliance on that system. They've got us all chained into it. Like, the doctor gives us drugs, we go to the drugstore, we get them, and then we go home and take them.
Right.
Well, you can avoid a lot of that with the use of hemp oil.
Well, that's the primary hurdle that those interested in moving this thing forward to have to face, and can never underestimate the lengths that those operating these industries would go to. I mean, really, it's obvious because, as you mentioned, I mean, this is old school stuff. I mean, this stuff has been known for a long, long time. There's been an active and ongoing repression of information, at the same time a vicious propaganda campaign that's been 100 years old, at least. On the mainstream front, I see very little change. However, you and me are on the phone talking about it, and I do see interesting things happening on the ground, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But what's your sense of the general situation?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, the whole situation the system we live under today, I mean, it's all run by money. I mean, we have politicians there that are supposed to be representing us, but they don't. I know here in Canada we hear all of this stuff about, democracy and freedom. Well, where is it? I mean, we don't have the freedom to take medicine that can save our lives.
Same here, yeah, yeah.
And democracy, that's just a word. I mean, this is, democracy, true democracy is government for the people. But I don't see government for the people. The rich are pulling the strings, and the government's doing whatever the rich want, and damn the consequences. But unfortunately, we're paying with our lives. I am so disappointed in politicians and people like this, because this is so simple to prove. Why don't they just, put it right on national television?
Yeah.
Let's prove this one way or the other. Does it work or doesn't it? And they already know that it does. But that's the reason they won't come near me. I mean, I've been challenging the government here in Canada for years.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do an open review of this medicine, but they won't go there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very disturbing when you see that type of thing going on.
Well, we have a few minutes before the top of the hour, and I'll just throw this in because it's sort of
if nothing else, we can commiserate about it. There is a similar situation going on here in the States with regard to the medicinal value of silver, nanoparticular silver in particular. There are now a number of studies, you know, peer-reviewed, published journal studies and patents and a whole bunch of stuff going on that show that in a particular way, shape, and form, that this is another cure-all, essentially, right?
Oh, that wouldn't surprise me.
And I've been sort of in the middle of pushing that one a little bit because it's a whole another long story, right? But I'm seeing the same exact symptoms that you are reporting. I mean, down to it. It's amazing. You know, in other words, you know, shown amazing information to people who should really care, and it's been ignored, essentially. You know, I mean, when the facts are right there in front of their face, it's amazing.
Well, I know I did a radio show here about a little over a month ago with James Arthur Jancic in Chicago.
I know him. Feet to the Fire, I think, is his
name.
Yeah,
Feet to the Fire.
Right, right.
And so I did a two-hour show with him.
Uh-huh.
And about 45 minutes into the interview, you know, it was open-line talk show, and about 45 minutes in, he said to me, he said, "You're talking about medicine on a donation basis." And I said, "That's right, James." And he said, "Well, what do you mean?" And I said, "Well, we grow this on a grand scale. We produce it, and then we make it available to the public on a donation basis.
Right.
That way, even if they don't have the money, they still get the medicine."
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, we shouldn't pay with our lives because we don't have a thick pocketbook.
I agree, fully.
And he said, "Oh, my God, Rick." He said, "Well, how could you do this?" And I said, "Well, you know, it costs so little to produce it. If the law gets out of the way, then we can produce this stuff just the same as you would corn."
Mm-hmm.
So he said to me, he said, "Well, Rick," he said, "if I had a serious cancer and I came to you," he said, "what would it cost you to provide me with the whole treatment if you were allowed to do it? You know, your cost," mm-hmm, "to provide me with the whole treatment."
Right.
And I said, "Less than $200, James." He said, "Oh, my God." He said, and I said, "You know, the bigger the scale we do this, the cheaper we can do it."
Right, right, right.
And well, that's when he came back and he said, I'm surprised," he said, "that no one has called in to challenge you." And I just laughed at that, and I told him, I said, "James, no one is going to call in to challenge me, because you cannot challenge the truth."
Hmm.
I mean, you can go right on the Internet today, go to SethGroup.org, that group's out of San Francisco. You can watch time-lapse video of THC killing brain cancer right over the Internet.
Yeah, there's a video of it that's linked on your front page. I've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, how can the system deny this?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a matter of letting the people know. You know, once the people know, then the system has to change.
Well, and the thing,
there's no future for the human race, I mean, if we don't start doing this right away.
Right, I agree. But I think that there is an interesting thing that's happening with regard to illness and disease and cancer in particular, because, again, of the Internet and this ability of communication that we have now that we didn't have even 10 years ago. And cancer patients are a pretty, you know, they're a pretty tough gang, actually, when you get down to it, and they don't want to die, and I've seen people consider things that they would never consider once they're faced with the reality of their cancer, and they don't want to do chemo, or maybe they've already done it and it almost killed them, and they don't want to do it again, or they don't want radiation, or they don't want to go under the knife, and I think that now people are out there looking, you know, what else is being done? Who's talking about what? What are alternative, you know, therapies and potential cures and this sort of stuff? And because of the availability of information now and the video that you've done and just the general, you know, way that people move information on the Internet, it could catch on much more quickly than people imagine, I think, because, you know, if some real go-getters who have cancer see this happen for themselves and they decide to really use the technology, they can have a major impact like you're having.
Well, people don't realize that, you know, the control, the corruption that we actually do live under. I know, like, the local paper here in Nova Scotia, the Chronicle Herald, they went out and they interviewed some of my patients, or some of the people that I don't really consider them my patients. I make the oil, provide it, and they treat themselves, as, you know, the way I did it. But they went out and they interviewed these people, you know, people cured with terminal cancers, that type of thing. But yet, when the reporter sent the story in, the paper won't print it.
Right. It's
all the control of big money. And
well, that's
it's
really
hard to believe that we are so controlled.
Yeah, it's amazing the thing about the paper, because, you know, William Randolph Hearst, who was, you know, one of the early paper magnates, who was also in the pulp business.
Yeah, the father of yellow journalism.
Yeah. I mean,
a great guy.
Yeah, you still can't get a story about hemp in the newspaper because of that guy. And I've tried here in Missouri as well. I've written a number of letters to the editor, et cetera, of the local papers, and they just have no interest in it. You know, I mean, it's obvious that there's just a self censorship rule that's just sort of in place, and they just don't talk about it. But I think that that's also changing. There are certainly plenty of publications online that are talking a lot about it. And, well, matter of catching on, like you say, spreading the word more and more people.
Well, I mean, mankind's been led down the wrong path. And it's time for, you know, the human race to wake up. You know, if we want a future for our children or grandchildren, I mean, we need this medicine.
Yeah.
And it has to happen now. Shudder to think what, you know, if this doesn't come out, I just cannot imagine this world in 20 years. And the cancer today, where it's so prevalent in young people. You know, years ago when I was young, well, cancer was fairly rare. And usually it was somebody, you know, that was quite old, or 70 or 80 years old. And, you know, when you hear of these things, you know, there's somebody dying with cancer. But it was very rare when I was young. But, my God, today, it's getting to the point now, it's about one in every two people are going to wind up with cancer.
Right.
And those numbers are growing.
Yeah.
We're all going to wind up with it. I mean, the truth is our bodies manufacture cancer cells every day. But, you know, our immune systems take care of it.
That's right.
If they're working right, if our immune system is working right. But the oil, it's just so magnificent when you see the oil at work. It just mystifies me. I know sometimes I'll take a little dab of it out in the sunlight and look at the oil, and, you know, and I'm just, I mean, the stuff, it looks like axle grease, but this stuff can save your life, you know, and I've treated some of the, you know, the patients have been so funny. One gentleman I treated with, he had skin cancer on his nose, and so we got it, and he was against me at first, and then all of a sudden he seemed, well, the skin cancer cured, and I laughed. About a month later he came over to the house, and he said, he asked me, he said, what would this do for hemorrhoids? And I said, well, I've been waiting to tell you this for a long time. I said, you know, put a little dab on the end of your finger, and I don't have to tell you where to shove it. he was pretty startled with that one.
Oh, boy.
But I seen him about 3 weeks later in a parking lot up in Amherst, and he just come running at me with his one finger up. And said, one treatment, Rick, one treatment. He said, I've been bleeding from the ass for 20 years.
Oh, my God.
He said, one treatment with that oil, and he said, gone. He said, I cannot believe it.
Amazing.
The healing power, even things like planter's warts, that type of thing, it'll kill planter's warts, you know, no pain. It's just amazing what it can do. But one important facet of this medicine is for burns.
Oh.
I know I gave myself a very bad burn years ago, and I healed up. I had third-degree burns, and healed up. There's no scars.
Amazing.
And you can take this oil. If you have a bad burn, and you take some of this oil and put it on a burn, within 5 minutes, you don't even feel it. It takes the burn right out of it. And when it heals up, from what we're seeing, no scar tissue.
Amazing.
So wouldn't that be beneficial to, you know, like children caught in house fires, badly burned? I mean, when you have a bad burn, I mean, it's agony.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they put you in these burn units, and, I feel so sorry for people in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But if they would just use this oil, it would kill the pain of the burn, take the burn out, and it would, you know, it would help them heal so much more. It takes about a quarter of the time to heal if you're using the oil. Like, if you have a burn, the burn will heal in about a quarter of the time.
Amazing. All right, look.
Ease it up.
Rick, let's take another break here. We're a little past top of the hour. Let me say KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. And if you want, we can take a few phone calls. I'll give the phone number out. If anybody wants to call and give us a question or comment, would you mind doing that?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Yeah, we got a little time left, so we'll do that. I'll give out the phone number right now. It's area code 573-443-8255. That's 573-443-TALK. Give us a call, and if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment about what Rick and I are talking about here, we'd certainly be glad to get you in on the conversation, okay? All right, Rick, we'll be back in just a minute, okay? We'll play a piece of music here and come back and talk some more.
Okay, great, Mike.
All right, thanks again. All right, everybody, Rick is on the web, Rick Simpson, at phoenixtears.ca. That's phoenixtears.ca. You can link there directly from my site, of course, on the front page there, and you can connect to the movie, the video, Run from the Cure, which is the first segment, at least, is up there on the front page of my website. And if you go to YouTube and just, you know, search for Rick Simpson or Run from the Cure or Hemp Oil, that sort of stuff, you'll be able to find a whole bunch of stuff that's connected to him and this work. So, anyway, we will come back and talk more with Rick in just a few minutes. Okay, in the meanwhile, here's another one from ZAP. This one is called Why Lie. It's Mike, you listen to Radio Orbit, KOPN Columbia.
Right, the Old Time Music Ozark Heritage Festival in West Plains, Missouri celebrates music and the unique culture of the Ozark Highlands. This year, the festival will be held on June 20th and 21st from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. each day. The event is open to the public and includes music, crafters, food, booths, and more. If you want information, you can get it at 417-255-7966. All right, it is Mike, and you're listening to Radio Orbit on KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM. My guest is Rick Simpson on the web at phoenixtears.ca. We're talking about hemp oil, and we're talking about the medicinal value and really remarkable properties of this stuff. And we're going to get right back to Rick now and say hello and remind people out there that if you'd like to call and talk with us, the number is 573-443-8255. There were a couple of calls at the break there, and you should have just hung on. I'd have brought you on the air, but you're welcome to call back and talk with Rick Simpson, all right? Okay, Ricky, hi.
Yeah, I'm back again, Mike.
Back again.
There's something else there I wanted to mention about the medicine.
Please.
When people start taking the medicine, I tell them to avoid driving their cars until they get the feel of the medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I encourage people, you'll find, as you take the medicine, you'll find your own comfort zone with it. But in a very short time, I mean, once you get the feel of it, then there's no impairment to it. I mean, you can drive your car. You
right.
can't even tell you're taking it.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
You know, there's no big red eyes or anything like that.
Right.
And it's I kind of laugh today because they're trying to say that, you know, if you've got hemp in you or THC in you, that you're impaired. You know, they want to start charging people the same as driving under the influence of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is ridiculous because it does not impair your motor skills. And it's kind of comical today because when you look at the people that are running around on the roads today, I mean, they're full of painkillers and, you know, antidepressants. And, I mean, these people are stoned.
Right.
But, but nobody's, you know, nothing's done about them because the doctor gave them the medication, didn't he?
Hmm.
But, I mean, what I see with the oil, no impairment. And I've been taking it for 8 years, and I've had nothing but magnificent results with it.
Do you mind me asking how old you are?
I'm 58 years old.
58. How many people do you think in the course of these 8 years you've come across that you've shared this with and that have, you know, benefited from it?
Over the last 5 years, I've provided the oil to over 1,000 people, you know, with all kinds of different ailments, you know, fibromyalgia, cancer, pneumonia. It doesn't make any difference. It just works for everything.
Hmm. Do you have a sense of it in an evolutionary context? In other words, do you something like this, it seems to me, would have to have a long sort of symbiotic relationship with our species in order for it to be able to help us
well. We're built for this medicine. I mean, we have cannabinoid receptors in our body.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, we do have a relationship, you know, through thousands of years of man's history. This medicine, I mean, it's been part of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the human body is designed for hemp medicine.
Well, it's a matter of availability and knowledge and information. Then is the challenge at this point, right?
Well, that's really the whole thing. I see this. I know it's going to break, and I think it's going to come out of California. Because right now in California, there's over 1 million registered medicinal users.
Mm.
And that number continues to climb every day. And, I mean, California, they have a pretty open attitude, you know, for hemp. And
right.
And they're sick of the lies.
Mm.
So I think when it happens, I think it's going to come out of California, and I think it's going to come just like a tidal wave. But the thing that scares me with this is, like, I mean, you know, I don't want to see shit or any nonsense like this. I mean, enough people have died.
Hmm.
But what I'm asking the people to do is just stand up, demand your rights, and let's make the changes.
Right.
You know, to bring this medicine out and use it properly.
What else is happening in Canada? My impression was that in the western provinces that there was a much more accepting and relaxed attitude towards hemp.
Oh, yeah. In British Columbia, particularly, that's more or less the hemp capital of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I had two folks in here just a couple days ago from B.C. to visit me. And they called me up and wanted to meet me, so they came in, and I asked them, I said, you know, how the word was spreading out there, and it was a man and a woman, and So he told me, he said, I've downloaded, he said, a couple copies of the video, and he said, I played it to some friends, and he said, pretty soon, other people in the valley started downloading it.
Huh.
And then he said, a gentleman just up the road from me, he said he had skin cancer, so he made some oil, and he tried it, and it cured him. So then five or six other people tried it for different things, and it worked for that. He said the whole valley's using the, you know, using it now.
Hmm, amazing.
So it's spreading. You can't stop word of mouth anyway.
Right, right. Especially
it's
when
spreading
something
rapidly.
Yeah, when something works. I mean, like you say, you can't argue with the truth. And for people who, this may not mean that much for people who are healthy or whatever, but for somebody who's fighting for their life, and they have either, tried the options that have been presented in the orthodox fashion, or they've decided that they don't want to go that way because they've seen what's happened to other people that have gone that route. They're looking for stuff, and it is a big deal to those people because it's a life or death, it's a life or death thing.
Well, people, they seem to have this mindset. I know a gentleman about 4 years ago. He came up to me one day and he said, "Well, Rick," he said, "you can't change the system." And I looked at him and I said, "No," I said, "I suppose that's right. You can't change the system." But I said, 3-4 years from now, when you or one of yours have cancer, should we change the system then?
Yeah.
Needless to say, he's a big supporter now, and he's never asked me a question like that, again.
Right.
And I've heard the same things, like people will come in and they say, "Well, you can't blame the doctors." And I said, "Well, look, when we go to a doctor, we put our trust in these doctors to give us sound medical advice. And, when you read their Hippocratic Oath, that's what they're supposed to do."
I agree. I understand.
But, that's not what's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
So, that part of it is very disturbing.
Well, what's really interesting about it is I always think about the old, with regard to the Hippocratic Oath, the idea of a physician first healing him or herself. And that sort of means taking your own medicine. And I know very few medical doctors, in my own experience, that would take the medicine that they're prescribing to other people. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's absolutely right. There was a convention of cancer doctors, had a convention in Montreal here a few years back. There's 70-some-odd doctors, and over 80% of them stated that they would not take conventional treatment if they had cancer.
If your doctor wouldn't take the medicine that he's trying to give you, then you need a new doctor.
That should tell you something. what I see, Mike, I think there are a lot of good doctors out there that want to do the right thing here.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I consider, the way I look at doctors, if you're classified as a doctor and you will not, back hemp medicine or use hemp medicine, then you're not in medicine for healing. You're in medicine to fill your pockets.
Mm.
Like I said, man's oldest known and safest medication. And on top of that, the most medicinal plant in the world. I love it when I walk into drugstores because I'll go right up to the pharmacist and I'll ask them, what's the most medicinal plant in the world?
Mm.
And if they're honest, they'll turn around and they'll tell you, cannabis. And then my next question is always the same, well, why don't you have it on your shelf?
Where can I get some? Right?
Yeah, where can we get this? we're being denied this medicine just over money. I just want to see a future for mankind here, but unless the human race wakes up, there is no future.
Well, I think that I agree with you that it's money, but I also think that it's more than that. And I think we've underestimated the level of, God, I hate to use the word evil, but I just can't think of anything else, because there really is this, there's the money side of it, but then there's also the pragmatic side of a certain group of people that actually think that it's their business to decide who lives and who dies on this planet. And they're convinced that there are too many people, and that there should be a culling of the human herd. But interestingly, they're the ones that think they should decide who should do the culling, right? And who should stay and who should go.
Maybe they should be culled.
Yeah, maybe, And but it's the same old story. It's the same old master race, crazy Nazi stuff that's been going on essentially for 5,000 years. But and as long as this plant has been repressed, But that's a legitimate concern that has to be addressed, or that has to be at least recognized as well, that
they just don't want people to be healed. They want people dying, and they combine that with them making a whole bunch of money in the meanwhile, you know?
Well, this truly is a classic battle between good and evil. You know, there's no question. You know,
you know, you got a cure for something, you give it up, people. That's the way it goes, right? If you've got a cure for cancer, if you've got a cure for AIDS, if you've got a cure for hepatitis, if you've got a cure for stuff, you give it up. You don't hide it in a freaking closet, okay? I don't care who you are, who you work for, what your excuses are, you know, what your motivations are, what your justifications are. If you don't put it out there and let everyone know that it exists and do your best to make it available, then you are full of shit, my friend. And that is what it comes down to. And people need to start to face up to what the truth is and tell the truth about what they know.
You're absolutely right, Mike. You mentioned AIDS there. Now, there's another good one. Now, a lot of people that smoke are heavy users of marijuana that have AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
They don't exhibit the symptoms of a person that has AIDS.
True.
And I talked to a gentleman here just recently. He said he was diagnosed in the 70s with hepatitis C. He said by the 80s they were saying then it was AIDS, and he's one of the longest survivors, or maybe the longest survivor. And I was talking to him, and he uses marijuana, you know, a great deal of marijuana every day. But, you know, I told him, I said, stop smoking it. Eat the oil and watch what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm convinced this oil basically can heal anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we've treated, like, my God, genital warts, that type of thing. And it just people are so amazed by it, you know, like it. A lot of us, as we age, you know, like particularly people that had a lot to do with the sun, well, they'll wind up with skin cancers, or these big moles will start growing.
Mm.
You know, like they'll stand right off the, like say a person's back about a quarter of an inch,
mm-hmm.
and I mean they're unhealthy moles.
Mm-hmm.
But you just take a little bit of this oil, put a bandage on it, and the mole flattens out, and then it falls off just like a scab.
Mm.
You know, it's so benign. It just boggles the mind when you actually open your mind to this. And you see what this medicine can do.
Well, it's amazing because the topical application are as interesting as the internal one, it seems to me.
I had a gentleman come to me here about 3 years ago. He had psoriasis all over his body. He was in his 50s. And so I made up some tincture for him to use on the exterior of his body. And he started eating the oil. Well, 2 weeks later, he came back and he said, you know, and you can see the psoriasis all healing up. And he came back to me, he said, Rick, you know, he said, I got this disease, he said, when I was 16 years old. And he said, I've had it for over 40 years. And he said, it ruined my life.
Mm.
And he said, then I come up and he said, I meet you, and you give me this oil, and my God, he said, I can't believe this. You know, but the system will sit there and they'll watch people suffer. And look at glaucoma. I mean, glaucoma is the leading cause of blindness in North America.
Mm-hmm.
You go to your eye doctor, he'll give you medical prescriptions, you know, of all kinds of pharmaceuticals. They'll give you eye drops, and they'll sit there, and they'll watch you slowly go blind. And it's been a known fact, you know, if any doctor would know this. It's been a known fact since the 1800s how effective that hemp is for glaucoma. But yet, in most cases, they don't recommend it, or they won't go there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, see, you can see the evil here. And the same thing like with arthritis. They fill people full of painkillers. Well, all that does is mask the pain.
Right.
And a lot of people have bad side effects, constipation, stomach problems from the painkillers. And then, you know, but just take the oil, no pain, no constipation, and it doesn't just mask the pain. It actually heals. I mean, I had arthritis in my knees when I was 45 years old, and they wanted to shoot them full of cortisone, and I refused it. And I went on glucosamine for about 3 years. I took glucosamine.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped, you know, like I could walk again and things. But my God, once I got on this oil, like I got knees like a teenager now.
Amazing.
So there's, you know, the medical uses are just endless. And I think we're on the dawn of a whole new day in medicine.
Well, I have an intuition of that in my own world, and I hope that our intuition is right about that. And I think that it's becoming imperative. I mean, as you mentioned, you know, throughout the show, that we're sort of running out of time.
Well, it certainly appears that way.
Yeah,
you know, it seems that, you know, unless the public stands up and demands that, and this is their right, unless the public just stands up and demands it, I don't think it will ever happen.
Yeah.
Because the big money just stands there against it, and, you know, and there's so many people who go out there. I know the RCMP, when they came here, well, it's like, you know, we're just doing our job. Well, isn't that about the same thing that they said in the death camps in Nazi Germany? Weren't those guards just doing their job?
That's what they said.
You better start looking for some, you know, where are your morals? You know, there's people dying with this disease. One of these days, it'll be one of their own family members. You know, and the ironic thing is with this, I've actually treated RCMP officers. Yet, you know, they're just doing their job.
Rick, let's take a phone call, okay?
Sure.
Hello, whoever you are. Welcome to Radio Orbit. Who's this?
Hi, this is Richard. Thank you.
Hi, Richard. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to ask Rick if any of the people that he's given this the oil to have treated themselves for any heart conditions, like particularly atrial fibrillation.
Interesting question. What about heart disease, Rick?
Well, as far as taking the oil goes, taking the oil will increase your heart rate slightly. It doesn't, like I said, but it lowers blood pressure. But what we've seen with so many people, I've seen people come in here that were taking 24 pills or more a day, you know, heart conditions, all kinds of conditions. And they get on the oil, and it seems like they don't need the medications. They can walk away from most of these medications. But the oil, what we've seen, basically, it has the ability to rejuvenate vital organs. You know, I've seen many people with, like, their kidney function being way down. Well, they get on the oil, and all of a sudden their kidney function goes right back up again. So it's rejuvenating all our vital organs while it's helping us. So, I mean, the heart is certainly a vital organ. And like I said, nobody ever died from hemp medicine. And if I had a heart condition, I'll tell you, I certainly wouldn't hesitate to take the oil.
Okay.
Very fascinating.
Anything else, Rich?
No, thank you very much.
All right, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, take care. Once again, folks, 573-443-8255 if you want to get in on the conversation here, okay? We got about a half hour left, a little less than that, with Rick Simpson from Nova Scotia, talking to him from the country of Canada. And it's been a pleasure, Rick. I really have enjoyed it, and I'm sure glad to be able to help try to share and spread this information. It's fascinating to me. So.
Well, we're all in this together. So, I mean, that's
no doubt about
the game.
No doubt about it. And I've got my mother is a sort of ongoing cancer patient where she has this stomach thing that she has to go in every once in a while and get an endoscopy, and they're so worried about H. pylori and la la la, and it's close to home to me. Everybody knows somebody who has cancer, I think. If you don't, man, you must be pretty isolated because it's pervasive. And all of these poor women who have had breast cancer over all these years and have gone through just hellacious treatments when forget
it's
about the
avoidable.
Past. You know, forget about the past. Okay, it was avoidable. Okay. It's now avoidable. We now know it. There's no joking about it. There are all kinds of different things that are rearing their heads right now. And the truth is the truth. And like Rick said earlier, you know, we should, you know, why isn't this in very straightforward fashion, transparently investigated and reviewed? And let's just find out. Right?
I know one of the major excuses I hear people say to me, well, look at all the jobs that would be lost.
Well, look at all the lives.
The first thing I come back with is, you know, like, are you willing to die for somebody's job in a pill factory?
Right. I mean,
people have to look at how much work would be created.
Mm.
You know, like if we put the people back on the land growing this material, I mean, there's no question, you know, that this industry would employ hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah, you know,
if we lose some jobs in one sector, we gain them in the other.
It's the standard excuse. Anytime you have, a power structure, that they always tell you that the reason that this or that can't be allowed is because it will bring down society. It will be, you know, that's always the excuse, but it won't. It will shift, certain things in one direction or another, mostly beneficially, in my opinion, if we do some of these things as you're suggesting. But, it's not the end of the world if you just allow somebody to grow a freaking plant, okay? It's insanity
to try to hold the opposite position.
Well, putting all these people in jail, you know, anyone that has ever gone to jail on a hemp charge, then the government owes them an apology.
Mm, no doubt.
Because you grow hemp, you're not a criminal. You know, the law, it's the laws and the restrictions that have been put in place, they are the crime.
Yeah, we're in agreement there, my friend. All right, so what's on the agenda? In other words, what's the path forward, as they like to say these days?
Well, what I'm doing right now, I mean, I was making the oil for people right up until last December. But now we've got the video out there, and I spend most of my time, you know, like on the phone or answering emails.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I have people come right here, and I explain to them how to make their own medicine. So most of my time is spent just educating people now on the way to do it. But, I speak at different marijuana rallies, that type of thing in Canada. I'm scheduled to speak again in July 1st in Dartmouth, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But it's having a great impact. They put me on the radio station in Halifax here about 3 weeks ago.
Cool.
In the CJCH radio, open line talk show, Rick Howe.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on there for an hour, and it was kind of funny because the first person that called in was a person that I had treated with terminal cancer.
Is that right?
And it just blew the people away. And, I mean, I peeled the whole system. And I challenged the government right there. I said, let's take 12 cancer patients. Take six that want to go through the medical system and take six that want to do it the natural way. And I said, let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody that called in, I mean, of course, the government won't go there. But everybody that called in was all supportive. Not one call was negative.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the world is waking up, and these governments better start realizing it. You know, the people are truly waking up. And we're not going to put up with this for much longer. I mean, like I said, I don't want bloodshed. It should be done in a very, just use common sense. That's all we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
This can be done and accomplished in a very peaceful manner.
I agree.
I mean, the rich people, the big money, well, haven't they made enough? You know, take your money and get, as far as I'm concerned. But when it comes to our lives, our medicine, get out of the way and let us do it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind. I don't care how much money you got. You can have your money. I don't care if people make money. I'm not against capitalism per se. What I'm against is capitalism combined with materialism. You know, when there's no spirit involved, when there's no heart involved, and then capitalism becomes the beast, you know, and
it becomes something very ugly, doesn't it?
It sure does. And you know, capitalism should not trump life and opportunity for freedom and you know, and the exercising of your free will and the ability to choose, you know, what you want to use for medicine and the availability of information to know what's available. So, anyway, I think it's great work that you're doing, and a remarkable story. I mean, my God, what's the relationship between you and two things? The relationship between you and the agents of the Canadian government, and then the relationship between you and your local folk, the people that are in your, you know, your hood.
Well, basically, like until the documentary come out, you see, there was a lot of talk, and people would say that it didn't work. But once that documentary come out and people seen it, you know, there's no denying it.
Mm-hmm.
And so around this area, it seems that everyone around here seems to know, and they know that the medicine works. But like I said, the government, they're doing absolutely nothing. The medical system, they're doing nothing. They're just, they know what's happening.
But they haven't put you away.
No. Well, I mean, it's hard to lock up a man for helping others and saving lives.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But I know the lawyer I had during my charter challenge, I talked to him here just recently when I was going in for my sentencing. And he called me over and he told me, he said, Ricky, said, I can't, he said, I'm a lawyer. I can't even explain anymore, he said, what they're doing. He said, you beat them. You know, you brought the truth out.
Hmm.
And he said, why they have even done this, he said, I have no idea. But he said, he also mentioned, too, I had to kind of laugh. He said, the RCMP, they took a sample of my oil, and they sent it out west. And I never seen the results, but he did. And the results come back that it was the highest grade, cleanest hemp oil that they had ever tested.
I'll be darned. All right, hey, Rick, let's take another phone call, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Welcome to the program. You're on Radio Orbit. Who's this?
Hey, Mike. Bob Bolt.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Really enjoying the show.
Good.
Actually, an observation and maybe a question if we have time. Just part of the observation is that you're talking about capitalism. In a sense, capitalism for me represents a kind of addictive behavior. You know, you say, don't these people have enough? It's like, does a heroin addict ever have enough heroin? You know, it's kind of, and I think the secret is, and your guest, I think, has got the right ideas, people have to organize around it. You know, if we can bring journalists in, fine. If we can't, we still have to organize around these alternative cures.
Mm.
And, I mean, the material you're presenting is just mind-boggling, which gets to my question, which is, cure this universal, I'm not really sure if anyone understands how it works. You know, I mean, it really literally seems a cure-all for everything. You know, I mean, even viruses, the whole business. Is there any idea, like, how it actually works on a molecular level to deal with so many different kinds of diseases?
Yeah, what's the mechanism that the stuff functions at? Yeah, I agree.
Well, as I said, our bodies are built to take the medicine. And, I'm not a scientist. I'm a power engineer by trade. I'm just an ordinary man.
Yeah.
I brought this out just due to conscience, because I feel that the human race has the right to know. But,
exactly.
The mechanisms involved, it would be very hard to explain, but there's a doctor on YouTube, he's a PhD out of Colorado by the name of Malamede. And he does a good little video on there, and he talks about about cannabis and hemp medicine. And, you know, he comes right out and says it. He said, you know, hemp, you know, they tell people that cancer patients can use this for nausea and that type of thing. And he said it goes way beyond that.
Yeah.
You know, this THC truly kills cancer cells and cures cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But he said it's not just the cancer curing. He said it does wonderful things for the whole body. You know, I mean, a lot of people looked at me and said, well, you know, you're not a doctor. And I said, well, to me, it's, if I was a doctor or a PhD, people would listen to me, I guess. I mean, the bottom line is, like Henry Ford, did he have a PhD when he invented the car or the Wright brothers?
Yeah, exactly.
When they figured out how to fly, were they not simple bicycle mechanics?
Yeah, you remember the story in Little Prince about the guy who came up and discovered the star of the Little Prince, or the planet Little Prince lived on? He just was an old guy with a telescope, and finally he went and got a degree, and then suddenly everyone listened to him. He had
this degree. Right.
You know, okay, wow. But you know, I'm not even sure that's even enough anymore these days. But I think maybe things are changing. Remember Albert Hoffman, the fellow who just died recently?
Sure.
I read a report. I don't think it was on your thing, Mike, but it was that they had now begun to open up serious research on LSD, and since the guy died with a sense that finally his problem child, as he referred to it, was finally going to be vindicated, sort of giving a level of... Because part of the idea with LSD is the fact that it actually is a kind of curative agent.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
certainly had amazing results with addictive behavior, alcoholism, this sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I do believe in the power of plants and plant spirits, and that the ancients knew these things. I mean, indigenous people know this, you know.
That's
that
true.
For every problem you get, a plant will come forward to help cure you. You know, it sounds very mystical, but I think we've got to start investigating these things. I'm going to ring off and just listen further, but I really appreciate the show.
Bob, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, what do you think about the spirit side of it? We really haven't talked about that, but I'm a person that comes at least in small part in my background from a Native American tradition, and I have been taught over the years by my grandmothers and my grandfathers that, you know, that the spirit is everywhere, and that the plant's alive and intelligent and there to help if we're willing to work with them and learn from them. There's a symbiotic relationship going on between us and almost every species on this planet.
Well, certainly when you start doing something like I'm doing, you certainly gain a lot of respect for Mother Nature very rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
You see, as I said, with the medicine, it's just so hard to believe that something that is this basic could have been, you know, hidden from the public. And I think that, you know, like I know, like I said, I know the time is fast approaching when it's going to be totally exposed. But
My main concern with this whole thing is that it's done in a peaceful way.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think that as far as the human race goes, if this plant is used properly, I mean, it's been known, the value of just hemp seeds. I mean, you can stay alive on hemp seeds. Mm-hmm. They'll prevent starvation. I mean, we see, children over in these foreign countries, the big swelled stomachs, mm-hmm. dying mm-hmm. for no reason when,
right.
Hemp is a very hardy plant and it will grow practically anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So why not, why are these people not growing hemp and taking the seeds? At least they wouldn't be starving to death.
Mm-hmm.
It could do so many things for the human race in so many different ways. It would be quite hard to recognize the world if things had been done right from the beginning. We would live in a totally different world today.
Well, it's what it is, and the thing is, the recognition that we can change it. It doesn't have to stay this way, There's a tendency to resist change, in culture in general, society, culture. Culture is built around the idea of resisting change. That's why it's called a culture. It's like when you culture something in a laboratory, when you essentially create a wall, or you do it in a petri dish, and the whole object of a culture in laboratory speak is to keep all outside influence, all outside contamination out, to keep the culture pure, keep it safe, keep it from change. And so culture doesn't want change, just the nature of culture. But
well, we need a culture that's based on common sense and truth.
Mm.
And that's what we should be operating on.
Yeah.
And we're just operating on propaganda.
Mm.
That's the amazing thing with Joseph Goebbels said it. He was the Nazi propaganda minister.
Yes,
he said, if you tell the big lie long enough, then after a while, people believe you.
Yeah.
Actually, I think Joseph learned that, I think, from William Randolph Hearst.
yeah. Those guys should have gone bowling together or something,
I think they did. But there's so many characters in this, like Harry Anslinger.
Well, and the thing is, it's ongoing. I mean, there are characters still involved in it today. The only guy who's talking straight about it is Ron Paul.
That's right. Yeah,
at least in our country.
If I was an American citizen, that's the only man that I would vote for.
Yeah, you know it, man. But we'll see. There's a lot of time between now and November, but he's for real, and he understands a lot of what we're talking about, I think, and he's a doctor,
Well, I mean, Hillary Clinton, when she was became president, wasn't she going to revitalize the whole thing and change medicine in America?
Well, she's in bed with all the pharmaceutical people and all the insurance people. She's as bought, sold, and paid for as anyone could be. But so is Obama, and so is McCain. I mean, they're all essentially, they're all CFR members. They all hang out with the same gang. They're all bought and paid for.
Why would anybody with a brain in their head vote for them?
Well, very few people understand these things. I think the level of the level of apathy, number one, and ignorance, number two, of the average person in our country is unfortunately higher than I'd like to see it, for sure.
Well, I think Buddha said that the greatest enemy of man is ignorance.
Hmm.
And that is the truth, it's like you said, all we have to do is read our history, and it's,
right.
I mean, we have a lot to hang our heads about. It seems like the human race has never done anything right. And with knowledge, and if it's used, knowledge and common sense, if it's used properly, and with the technology we have available today, I mean, we could live in a wonderful world, and I think that there would be no, I don't think there's any reason to exterminate half the human race. I think we can all live here in peace.
Right.
But I think, we need more understanding, and I'm not a person, I don't really believe much in borders anyway.
Mm.
I kind of think as a human being, you should be able to go basically wherever you want.
Yeah, we're all born on this planet, and I think we have the right to travel on it as we see fit.
Well, and the world today has become such a small place, too.
Mm.
And what scares me today is...
Hey, you know what? I'll tell you something, though, Rick. I'll tell you one good thing that human beings have done, where they got it right. They created the Internet.
Yes. They definitely did.
so that's one for the good side. And I'm with you. I do recognize what you're saying, because history is this horrific, bloody backslide. But But at the same time, I sense that it's not all for nothing, and that in hindsight, hopefully down the road, we'll look back and realize, well, it was very ugly and very difficult, but look at what it led to. It was for a reason, for a purpose, and hopefully some of the stuff that you're sharing with us will be a part of that, you know, this future that you're talking about that so many people are dreaming of, you know?
Well, I can't imagine a future without it.
Mm.
And I mean, with me, I'm not a heavy duty religious person. I consider myself more spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
I just believe that we are God, and I believe that in our lives, it's based on what we do. I mean, if we do good, then people around us do good.
I agree.
And if we do evil, well, unfortunately, so do the people around us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just, right now, there's so much evil and misunderstanding in this world. I think planet Earth could be a paradise if we just gave it half a chance.
Well, I think that's what we're trying to do here. And you know what, let me give the phone number out one more time, Rick, just in case anybody wants to give us a buzz before the end of the program here. We got about 10 minutes or so left, maybe about 8 or 9, actually. 573-443-8255. And also my friend Bartholomew Bean, like to say hello, is in the studio with me here. I don't know if you have any questions. If you'd like, Bart, you can chime in if you like. Do you have anything you'd like to say?
Right now.
No, right now? Okay. So, once again, 573-443-8255 if you'd like to chat with Rick Simpson for a minute here about hemp oil and the amazing curative and medicinal and general health benefits of this stuff as is being demonstrated and witnessed and testified to by a whole bunch of people now, right?
This is what I love about this. Is like I said, you're, you know, worldwide now, there's thousands of people that are producing the medicine for themselves, and that will just continue to spread. There's no way for no way to stop this.
You know, there's a program. It's not an official program or anything, but I get email once in a while from an organization that calls themselves Outgrow Big Bro, and the idea is sort of what you're saying. They say everyone should just start growing, just grow everywhere, and that's their whole theme, is outgrow Big Brother, and
overgrow the government.
Yeah, just overgrow it, and everyone just start growing, and I get a kick out of their philosophy. And these guys I picture them sort of like Johnny Appleseed riding all around the countryside, seeding the fertile ground with hemp seeds everywhere they go, and this sort of thing. But anyway, I do think that those who would continue to attempt to conceal the truth about this stuff, they're really fighting a losing battle, and one that's really, you know, when you think about it, you shouldn't be fighting. It's not one that you should be fighting. It's something that's to help people, including you. You know, whoever you are out there, if you happen to need it. So, you know, let's just take this.
Yeah, no one should stand, you know, between the public and anything that is something that is for the greater good.
Mm.
And this is definitely for the greater good. But what I see in North America, it's the politics, the party systems. You know, here in Canada, we have the Liberals, the Conservatives, the NDPs, the Green Party, but the trouble is, I mean, they're not truly working for the people.
Uh-huh.
The same thing in the States with the Democrats and the Republicans. You know, what we need independent representation. That way, when you elect someone, they're working for you.
Right.
They're not towing some party line.
Mm-hmm.
And if we had independent representation, and actually, I think, you know, what we need, we should have a think tank running the country. Why don't we just take, like, about 24 people, say, two of the best farmers, two of the best in medicine, two of the best in lumber industry or shipping, but put them all together, put some great minds together, and do everything with an open book policy to the public. So nothing is hidden. There are no more of these backroom meetings.
Right. Those days are over for the most part. I mean,
it's got to go.
Well, and the technology is now available to have everything recorded, everything videotaped, everything should be out there in the public purview. And I think that's actually, again, this is one of the things that has to happen, I think.
Well, then, you know, if this did happen, we would have a true democracy then. You know, it would be government for the people instead of government for the money.
Right. Well, what about allies? Who you got that's on your side?
Well, it's you would think, one would think, you know, organizations like Normal would be looking into this and doing the right thing.
Oh, God, no, that means the end of their money.
Unfortunately, I found an awful lot of the outfits out there that, you know, they're saying they want to legalize marijuana. Well, they're all standing up there sucking on a joint, and that sends the wrong message, you know. But it almost seems that it's hard to find allies. You know, there should be all kinds of them. But one of my main allies is the people themselves, you know, the people that have woke up to the real truth.
Mm.
And, I mean, some of my supporters are very vocal.
Yeah, and they're telling their stories.
Don't mind telling you.
Yeah, and they tell their stories.
I don't know how many patients that have used this. They turned around right in and told their doctors off.
Hmm.
You know, and an awful lot of people, like, they're scared of the medical system now. And,
yeah.
Well, they should be.
Yeah, yeah.
I laughed at one of the gentlemen on the video there, Jim LeBlanc. He was, he had terminal cancer last year, and we cured him with the oil. And so they had him scheduled for an open heart. He had a blockage, so they wanted to do open heart surgery. So Jim called me up and he said, about the surgery, and he was scared to death.
Mm-hmm.
And I just told him, I said, Jim, go in and have the operation. I said, you're full of oil anyway, they can't kill you. So Jim went in and he had the operation, and about 2 days later, I went down to the intensive care unit to see him. And I'm there, only there about 10 minutes, and in walked these three in white coats, two women and a man. And the woman in the middle, she points at Jim and she said, this is Jim LeBlanc. He's just gone through open heart surgery and he did just great. And she said, this is the man who was cured with terminal cancer using hemp oil. So when soon as she said that, well, Jim just looked at me. Of course, I mean, if you know me, I couldn't resist it. And I looked at him and I said, yes. And I said, that's right. And I'm the guy that makes it. And why don't you use it?
Nah.
And they just stood there. They just went rigid.
Mm.
And the guy in the end, he stepped off to one side and he said, well, I don't really have anything to do with this. He said, I'm an anesthesiologist. And I said, oh, you're an anesthesiologist. Mm. I said, you don't know that hemp is man's oldest known and safest anesthetic?
Mm.
And that stuff that you use causes brain damage.
Mm.
And that's true. In about 1 in 5 serious operations, the anesthetic causes brain damage.
Well, that's right.
So the three of them just literally run out of the room. And Jim sat there and he laughed. He said, I've never seen anybody like you. He said, they're terrified of you.
Mm.
But, I mean, all you have to do is ask them the right questions.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have the answers.
Well, I tell you what, you got some answers, Mr. Simpson. And I sure appreciate you spending the time that you did with us tonight, sharing some of them with us. We're, believe it or not, 3 hours there and gone, just like that. And it has been a very, very worthwhile time spent with you.
It's been a pleasure, Mike. And anytime you'd like to have me back, just let me know.
Okay, well, we'll plan on doing another show sometime in the future. And you got an ally over here in me. And if you ever need media, if you ever need access to the airwaves, you just get a hold of me, and I'll make sure I get you on the air, okay?
Okay, that's great, Mike.
All right, Rick, take care of yourselves, and good luck, and thanks again for the work you're doing.
Thank you, Mike, and a wonderful show you have.
I appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
All right, cheers. All right, everybody, that's Rick Simpson on the web, phoenixtears.ca. Amazing, amazing information. Check it out for yourself, and certainly if you have loved ones or friends or people that you know who are in the midst of dealing with cancer or in general poor health, that this is something that they should look into and determine for themselves if they think that this is legitimate or not. All right. Okay, it is closing in on 2 a.m. now in the morning. It's been a pleasure talking with you all tonight. Next week, we have Dr. Boyd Graves, Dr. Len Horowitz, and a recorded interview that I did with Dr. Rustam Roy. So we'll talk again about health, healthcare, healing, cancer, HIV, and, what's going on with all this stuff. All right? So, again, we'll do it up next week. Got some good music as well for you next week. And once again, thank you tonight to Ricky Simpson and also to the guys and girls from ZAP. I appreciate the music that they put together for us and shared with y'all tonight, okay? All right, it is Mike, Radio Orbit, KOPN Columbia, 89.5 FM, and we will play one more song here from ZAP on the way out. This one is called Au Revoir, and it's a good way to finish up the program.
stick around. Actually, my relief is not going to be here this evening, so I'll probably shut down the radio station in just a few minutes here, play some music on the way out, though, and I think we'll probably be back on the air about 5:30 tomorrow morning, okay? All right, everybody, thanks again for listening to the program. On the web, Mike Hagan, HAGAN.com. Once again, Rick Simpson on the web at phoenixtears.ca. Very, very interesting stuff. Thank you, Rick, for being on the program once again. And to all of you for listening to the program. I love you all. Take care. Okay, it's Mike, Radio Orbit, once again, KOPN, Columbia.
Living to do, so this is goodbye.